The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. It's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Sky rockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium. I'm not sure of the date in March, but it's, you know,
the 26th.
The 26th of March.
Late in the month.
And we're here talking Patriots for the next 2 hours from 12 to 2. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the way to call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Andy's here. Paul's here. Eric's here. Kevin's in the booth. We're all here. It's like you know, finally, we're all together.
We were all together last week.
I knew you were going to say that.
So, big news today, Fred.
Yeah?
The biggest.
Yeah?
Sebastian Vollmer's back.
Well, it was kind of announced yesterday.
What about it?
Not announced.
It was announced today.
But Sebastian Vollmer, the last of the big three that Patriots went into free agency with the question marks around, has returned to the Patriots. Do we know what kind of deal?
Reportedly a 4-year deal, topping out at $27 million with $8.5 million guaranteed. And, you know, there are $1 million Pro Bowl bonus, a lot of playtime incentives. The low end is 4 years, $17
million. Not bad for...
It's more than I'd pay him.
Really?
$8.5 million guaranteed for a guy that I can't be sure is going to play week two?
Are you surprised that no one in the market offered him more?
No. Not with the back injury.
You're not?
Well, I mean, a little, yes. But then once I saw the contracts come in, no.
Okay.
Once they started to peter in and the contracts were lower... To me, he has baggage, big-time baggage.
So that part of the business is done. You know, there's still guys like Julian Edelman out there that they have to make decisions on. But now I think the focus, to me, is on pass rusher and wide receiver. Where is that going to come from, right?
Yes.
You guys agree with me?
And the pass rusher thing's getting interesting as pieces start to fall with Doomerville in Baltimore. You know, there were reports that Umanyora is getting close in Atlanta. And that the other two are close.
Well, Abraham's already signed with the Patriots, right?
According to Erica Lee.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
He's been here
too,
working
right?
out for like 2 weeks now.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Matter
there.
Of fact, I think he's done with the off-season program.
Right.
And James Harrison was told by the Steelers to go away, apparently, that there's
again?
No shot that he's coming back,
wow.
even though his agent apparently thinks there's a shot he's coming back.
Well, the agent went groveling back saying, you know, be willing to work on something. I thought that they might, you might see like a ridiculously low deal right. with him return, but Pittsburgh said no.
Said no. I mean, maybe they're playing that game and trying to go even lower.
So what's the
delay? See, I would do that. If I were Pittsburgh, I would say no thanks. I think he's done.
What's the delay on these guys? Is it just they were waiting for, you know, the Doomerville thing kind of stopped everybody in their tracks. They had to see how that played out. Now that that's played out, do we expect these guys to start falling like dominoes, or is there something else that's delaying the signing of these guys?
Well, I think a big part of it was the Doomerville. That delayed things for a certain period of time. But also, what's the rush? I mean, if you don't want to go to a certain spot, if you don't have your heart set on New England or Denver or wherever, wait. I mean, clearly the money is not what they're jumping.
The players should wait.
I think the players should wait.
And you're thinking that these players have offers on the table, and now they're the ones waiting, not the teams making them offers.
Yeah, I don't think the teams are doing enough to secure them. And if I'm a player, I wait. Because if I'm the last one standing, now there's desperation. Maybe I just bumped it up $500,000 or $1 million. That's if I don't care.
It's a risk.
Well,
either way.
It depends what you want to do. If you care, if you really want to go to Denver, okay, then I'd sign with Denver regardless of whether it was a little less than I wanted. If I really wanted to go to New England, but clearly they don't. They were here. They left. You know, they had a contract based on Erica Lee for
an offer sheet.
An offer.
That's a contract.
She, you know, supposedly saw the contract.
She said that Abraham signed. She says that she saw the contract.
Wow.
Now, listen, I don't know what she saw or what she didn't see.
Abraham must be tapping her because how else would she see the contract?
I don't even think Andy would say that.
And
I really don't.
I mean, I think we should just end the show because we're not going to top that. We've peaked in the first three
now,
minutes.
Are you allowed to tell him just go?
No. I got no problem with what he said. It's probably true.
So
I stand corrected. Andy would have said it. He just didn't think of it.
Yeah.
So I kind of hope that they get Abraham out of the bunch that's available. But
I just want one. Yeah. And that's the only thing I'm concerned about is what if these pieces, the chairs all stop and you got none?
Right.
Now what are we doing?
Right.
Now we're back to your guy, Trevor Scott or something.
But we'll have paid less than everybody else.
The other issue is wide receiver.
Unless it's a guy with a back and knee problems.
If they sign Edelman, I think we asked this question last week. I don't know if Eric was here when I asked the question, so if he wants to answer it. If they sign Edelman, are you content going into the season with Julian Edelman, Danny Amendola,
Donald Jones? No.
As your wide receivers?
No, not really.
No.
No. I think you're at best equal to last year. At best.
Yeah.
I don't think you're.
I don't even think you're.
Would any of you be okay with re-signing Brandon Lloyd at, you know, $1 million a year?
No.
With now knowing what you're going to expect from this guy?
No.
You know, assuming you're not going to force feed him 150 balls like you did last year.
Force feed him balls.
Well, you know what I mean.
I have no interest in him. For what?
Even as like a fourth receiver for $1 million?
For what?
I would think that'd be okay.
I can't get crap out of him when I do force him 150 balls. What am I going to get out of him if I don't?
Well, that's the thing.
I'd rather have a guy that might give me a play every once in a while in the random times I throw it to him.
Yeah, I'm in the vast minority here, but I'm fine with Andy's guy. Give me a Terrence Williams type in the draft.
Oh, yeah.
Give me a second round pick in the draft. There's a lot of good wide receivers in this draft. I'm fine. I don't need anything else.
That would be okay.
Because they have two elite tight ends. They have a third tight end who can catch the ball, who's caught about 35, 40 balls a couple years ago. They have running backs who can be part of the passing game as well. I don't think they need four wide receivers. Now, this is all well and good as long as our Terrence Williams guy can play.
Right.
They need to draft somebody who can play, and he needs to contribute right away. If that happens, I'm fine.
And that might benefit. We've talked about this.
Not only with Lloyd gone,
might it force Brady to work with the guy a little bit more and, you know, kind of go back and forth. But also, they're all new. Brady doesn't have a go-to guy at receiver. He has, obviously, the tight ends. But he's going to be working and learning with Amendola. He's going to be working and learning with
Jones.
Donald Jones if he even makes the team. He's going to be working and learning with said rookie. So, you know, there's nobody. Matthew Slater is the only guy that's caught a pass at receiver from Brady. And he's, I believe, caught one. Literally, a pass.
And you know, you got to look out when Matthew Slater goes
there. This guy, the speed to burn.
Don't sleep on Kamar Aiken.
Come on, man.
There's another one, too, that I'd never heard of.
Yeah, I forget his
Holmes?
Name now already. Yeah.
Andre Holmes?
Yes.
Dre.
Yeah.
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
That's one that you could have said. So, is Andre Holmes a member
I'm
of the
I'm sorry.
Patriots?
Am I cracking you up today?
I think
you're doing pretty well so
an
far.
Issue. I think it's
strong
an
strong start to the show.
Even
you,
if
Paul.
Edelman resigns, I think it's an issue.
It is.
You know?
There's no doubt.
Oh, yeah. I don't think Edelman.
Edelman's not.
Edelman
answer.
Doesn't move the needle for me.
Plus,
to me,
even if he did, all the guys you're listing are injury prone.
I need
all
Andy's guy.
Gronk,
I need Andy's
Hernandez,
guy.
Amendola, Edelman. If those are your top four targets, let's say in your little world, those are your top four targets. Well, what happens in October when they're the top four names on your inactive list?
Right.
Now you got nothing.
Now you got
Kamar Aiken, Andre Holmes, Matthew Slater,
Jake
Ballard.
I need a rookie to come in and make an impact. That's what I need. I don't need Julian Edelman to come back. I need a rookie to come in and make an impact. And if that doesn't happen, then I'll be with you guys. I'll be concerned about the situation.
All right. So keep it on the.
When Paul's concerned about the situation, he'll be concerned about the situation.
No, I'll, if they don't get any. I mean, I don't think you have enough right now. And I don't think Amendola and Jones is enough.
But you know what we say.
But if you add in. To me, if you add in an impact rookie, and when I say impact, it doesn't have to be Terry Glenn and catch 90-some-odd passes.
It'd be nice.
You know, it would be nice. But
no chance.
You know, a guy who can come in and contribute right away and be a threat to the defense,
right.
I think that's enough. Now, there's another name out there, and I know you don't like him, but would definitely fit the Patriots mold. The Haywood Bey, to me, still kind of hanging there.
Yeah.
And you know, it'd be a very much a Patriots-like signing. You know, he was a first-round pick, and we take all first-round busts. This is where you go.
Right.
You go to New England when you're a first-round bust around the league. When we could get you on the second contract that's worth nothing, and we find out if you had the talent in the first place that was worthy of that first-round pick.
He didn't.
See, I think he did. And I think that he had some ability.
Well, even when he was picked, it was a stretch, right?
Oh, God, yes.
Everyone laughed at the Raiders.
It was a typical Raiders pick. They took the fastest guy.
Right.
They took the biggest, fastest receiver. It's a typical Raiders pick. Andy's 1,000% right. It was a bust of a pick. But now you're not – that part doesn't come into the equation now. Now you're just
– Oh, yeah, I don't care about that. I just don't think
if you could salvage his career.
I think he's Matthew Slater.
You think he's Matthew Slater?
Run fast, can't play.
You think he's Matthew Slater?
That's pretty – that's not a wide receiver then.
And probably not even a nice guy. At least Matthew Slater,
well, I don't
great
know if
guy.
I never met him. To say he's Matthew Slater.
Punk.
Come on. Matthew Slater. You'll find that – to be a slight exaggeration,
okay,
even for you?
He would top out at Bethel Johnson's worst. I'm not even sure he's as good as Bethel Johnson was.
Really? He's better than Bethel Johnson.
Yes.
All right, so keeping on the Pituitary. Are you happy with theme?
Now I'm praying that they sign him.
Me too. So in camp, I can watch him drop pass after pass, and Brady just kick him to the curb. That might be good.
Watch how he changes his tune.
Yes, yes.
They finally got a guy who can run. See what I told you? Playmakers.
No,
playmakers.
No, they sign him, and then Terrence Williams, and then that guy sucks so bad, Brady's like, I know he's a rookie, but he's the lesser of my two evils here, because Haywood Bey blows.
Keeping on the are you happy with...
You know who else blows? Erica Lee.
You know, theme. Are you happy with
at news
the current Patriots draft status?
What?
Are you happy with the current Patriots draft status?
Yes.
1, 2, and 3.
I am.
And 2 and 7.
For different reasons. Take your personal. No, they have big holes in the middle of the draft. I mean, for us, I think it's fine because
it's ideal.
We're really. I mean, when we're doing our radio stuff, we're excited about the top of the draft. We have our early picks. We have 1, 2, and 3.
Yep.
That's what generates our conversation on our draft show. For us,
I
it's
hope
great.
They make those picks.
But that's a big hole in the middle of the draft.
I'd probably trade down.
No, but you know what?
Yeah.
I am okay with
to.
It. I'm being serious now. I am okay with it because normally in those middle rounds, they draft guys who wouldn't have been drafted anyway. So you're just going to sign rookie free agents. So just sign the rookie free agents this year. And
I think they do
drop
it on
all
purpose.
Pretense.
And then the rookie free agents make the team.
Make the team. And they make
exactly.
And then their third round pick is inactive 17 games.
And they tout that, you know.
Right.
You know. That's big. I think that's what they do on purpose.
Yeah, I would trade down, though. I'm not in love with anybody in the first round, and I like a lot of people, safety, wide receiver, some guys in the middle of the draft. So I would trade down. No, I would need somebody to trade with.
Chris Ferreira writes, and he's wondering if we could let listeners know that we've posted quite a few draft prospect highlight videos. Listeners can watch the actual videos that Andy, Paul, and Eric are watching. Well, not the actual ones. You guys watch a little bit.
Pieces of the portion.
Are watching to evaluate the talent in the draft at patriots.com/draft. We'll be posting all the running back videos later today. I can fall in love with some thick-legged guy that weighs about 250.
Fred, that's not his leg. And we'll never see him again.
Are you two, seriously, are you both on crack today? I mean,
what's
is going
wrong
with
on? That?
Although, your guy Jonathan Dwyer is taking over in Pittsburgh,
right? I was just going to say, 245-pound Jonathan Dwyer.
There's no hope.
He's taking over.
We don't.
Is that was random. Is
I don't even know what it was.
Is Pittsburgh like the only team that? I mean, that's like doesn't he just he strikes you as a Pittsburgh type running back?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Jerome Bettis.
Yeah.
You know, it's just it's like the only place he could play.
The Steelers and Fred like their men big.
No, thick.
Legged. Sorry, thick.
Thick-legged.
You see, it's Geno's birthday. Speaking of
yeah,
you
know, Geno
things you like on his
birthday?
Leg.
Hello.
Oh man.
I retweeted and said he's a hip dude.
Uh-huh. See now.
So only our listeners know what I was doing.
Only 250,000 people know what he
right,
was doing.
Because it's on Twitter now. So now I was going to ask another question. I forgot what it was.
Okay.
You know, you asked about.
Oh.
I think we really need to break down the.
You asked
the
about
Volmer
being
thing.
Surprised about Volmer.
Yeah.
At the beginning, I am. Andy said he wasn't. I am surprised. I mean,
wait, what wasn't I surprised at?
That no one offered him any money.
Oh.
I know he has an injury history, and for that, look, it looks like. Based on what I read, it looks like the Patriots didn't really make any risks here. I mean, if he gets hurt, they're not really on the hook for.
I think $8.5 million is a lot of risk for me.
Well, I mean, but
only spread
if he,
out over 4 or 5 years, right?
No, that's his bonus money. That's his guaranteed.
Guaranteed money,
is seven and, a half to sign, and then I don't know. There's another million there.
Probably the rest is his base salary.
It's base
for the
salary,
first year.
Right?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying, if like he got hurt, you know, next year, right? Well, you'd be prorating what $6 million. And you'd have to take a
there'd
$6
million. There'd be an acceleration.
Yeah, $6 million acceleration.
But you're basing
it's not
it on
that much.
But you're basing it
no,
on.
But
it,
I
like,
invested $8 million in a guy who could be inactive
no,
for 15
I,
straight
no,
weeks or on IR
no,
for 3 years.
No, I know. But you are going on the absolute worst case scenario.
Right.
He's been banged up throughout his 4 years, but he's been able to play more often than not. You're operating on.
Last
he's going to play a game, and then he's never going to be able to play again.
I think there's a
and
chance.
You're going to be on the hook for $8.5 million.
Right.
I think there's a chance. I think he held it together to get a contract last year. I really do.
Well, I do think there's some truth to that. But I am surprised he didn't get an offer. And, you know, I look at a guy like the guy from Detroit that got like $34
million. Gosder.
Gosder Sherrills. He can't play. And he got $34 million. I mean, Vollmer's better than him. And I don't injury history
play?
Or whatever. He's
I don't
not,
know anything about
he's
him.
Not very good. I know Detroit
I've never seen
wasn't very high on him.
Yeah, if Vollmer wasn't injury plagued, I think he would have gotten that kind of money.
No,
but,
was an injury plague,
but
he might be a left tackle
no,
somewhere right now.
Yeah, we know why he didn't get the offers.
Possible
well, because of the injury history. But to me, the state.
But now you're okay with it? You didn't like us
no,
drafting
no, no.
him because he had a back injury, and
no,
now
no,
you're
no.
okay giving him $8 million.
No, no, no. I think he got a lot of money. I do. I think they paid him a lot of. But I don't think, you know, in typical Patriots fashion, I think they've protected themselves smartly. I think that if he can't. If he can't play, I don't think they're gonna. This is gonna be a contract. My God, I can't believe they did that. I can't believe another team didn't set up a similar kind of contract. Why they didn't go after him? And it really
their
didn't
doctor
seem like,
said you might as well just piss the
well,
$8 million
away. Listen, you might be right.
No, because they never actually saw it.
You might be right.
What there were
are
no
you
visits. No, I mean it never
he's
reached
having
that
an inner,
point.
This is inner dialogue with Andy time.
Right.
No, I do think there is a medical risk here, and some of it, I mean, you have to have faith in however your staff assessed his injury.
There's right. definitely
he could miss this. He, you know, he could be done on one hit. You know, whatever the in between is that spectrum.
Yeah, there's definitely risk. There's no question about that. But I just look at some of the teams around the league that have nothing on the offensive line. You know, the Arizona Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals couldn't afford to give this guy $8 million guaranteed to, you know.
Yeah, but then who are they going to play in week two?
To put a guy on the offensive line that, I mean, that was one of the worst offensive lines I ever saw. Ever saw. They made Pittsburgh look good, Arizona, last year. I was a little surprised by it.
All right, we're going to start a new feature on the show. It's called Hut or Not Hut. Ted Johnson will be telling us. Did you hear? You of course heard about that.
I am now convinced that he is on crack.
He's a little weird today. How do you not hear? Did you see there were two live TV trucks doing the nightly news about it?
I did not.
Yes, when we left on Friday, there were
Andy
5 and 7 were here. And I texted him. I go, did we miss some news today? Why are there live TV trucks outside? So I checked with PR and got the one-word response, Wilfork. It was nightly news that Ted Johnson said Vince Wilfork's wife was the ugliest.
I mean,
do you believe that?
It's an indictment on
and it was top
local
of the,
news channels.
Top of the digital fold on Boston.com. It was
about,
the main center story.
As soon as Johnson said it, he said, this isn't going to get back to Vince. You said it on the radio.
That's, I mean, like if we said
well,
it here.
I mean.
Right.
there's a good chance.
You can't just say that Erica Lee is banging John Abraham.
But wait a minute, you don't think there's like a strippers
live TV trucks?
You don't think there's a version of strippers everywhere?
Of course.
That you say something on the radio, he's going to hear it, and he's going to go and tell the guy.
First of all, you just don't say it.
Well, not only that,
just don't say that.
The producer from the radio station is going to tweet out, "Oh, hear what Ted Johnson said," or they'll it'll get there in seconds.
You do not, Fred. We talk about other people's wives.
But
we
don't.
Just don't.
But it's just it's in poor taste. Overall, it's as a human being, forget about being on the radio. You say, oh, his wife is ugly. I mean, that's.
Well, and the easy answer was he could have just gone, you know, Brady's and just laughed it off, move on.
Or I'm not talking.
No, but I think
that,
even if you want to, like, be a little funny or have an answer, it's Brady's. It's got to be Brady's. And everybody moves on. It's fun. But he makes it a news story in Boston.
That's the perfect way to answer that. That's easy. Brady's.
Right.
That's easy. You know.
Well, making it a news story wasn't his fault. Saying it was his fault, but making it a news story is the fault of the idiots who run the news desk.
I mean, Eric's right about that.
Right.
But Andy, it's not Andy one and I idiot. Were like beside ourselves.
It's not just like one idiot because multiple stations did it and Boston.com, which is supposed to be like a respected news site, right?
Well, why would you say that, though? It's supposed to be a respected news site.
Well, I thought they were supposed to be
on. But I knew something was up.
They claim they are, but they're just
that's all.
I knew something was up when I was reading Twitter in the morning, and Vince had his feed, and he's like,
"MF,
I'm going to apologize in advance for anything I might say today." I'm like, "Uh oh, something's up." And then I saw something from Bianca, and then it was like, "Wow, I don't know what this is all about." And then
she really took the high road.
Yeah, she did.
I mean, Vince was ready to kick ass and take names.
It's well he should.
I agree. But she took the total high road and just, she's comfortable with herself and the love she has. And well, that's one thing you can't dispute. There's a lot of things you could talk
about
those two
for. They're not a fraudulent couple.
They are as tight and as bonded and the same like-minded as anyone.
And and had been throughout his college career.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Which to me even speaks more.
Right.
About their relationship.
I mean, like when he was in that scandal in at Miami, like they asked for a washing machine or whatever, their team will fork.
The rest of the teammates were getting Lamborghinis. They were getting a washing machine.
Right. Like that's how far back they go as they're a pair.
Yeah.
So they're bonded.
Yeah, and you talk about one, you're talking about the other.
Right. And for a guy who's had his issues with women, with a lot of other things, to start kind of – that's a big glass house he's throwing a rock
Ted,
from.
Really, you know, and I love Ted. I love him. There's very few Patriots that are higher on my list.
Do you really think that
– But I can't believe he said something that
It was
stupid.
In Houston, right?
Yeah.
Do you really think the host of that show expected him to give them an answer?
Well, he's the host. He's one of the co-hosts.
He is? Okay.
And it was
a
caller question.
Someone asked him.
Yeah.
It was a caller question. He's one of the co-hosts.
Okay.
I mean, it's dumb.
I
in
thought
so
he
many
called
ways.
In.
No.
It's dumb enough.
Is he living in Houston now?
Yeah. He's from Houston.
Yeah, he's
that's where he's from.
The Rip Tickler.
His dad has a rib place.
The Rip Tickler. Absolutely.
Yeah. So that was news last week.
No, it wasn't. I mean, they made it news, but it wasn't.
Well, it was.
It's gossip.
News.
It's rumor. It's
gossip,
TMZ.
Right. Yeah.
It's not news.
It's not news. It's
Channel
gossip.
7. I'd like to know, what does a live truck cost? What does that cost?
Far too much for that crap.
You're telling me that that's worthy of it. Not to mention, even if it were worthy of a live shot, go to Vince Wilfork's house and do a live shot. What do you have to do a live shot at Gillette Stadium with no one there in the background?
Because I know that you always say that you need to have that
just
that
in case
visual,
Vince and Ted fought in the
parking
lot.
Even if it's not going to happen there.
Even if you wanted to make the stretch that it was worthy of leading the news, like, what's the visual?
Well,
right?
For one thing, they might not know exactly where he lives.
Because that's where you get a chance. Maybe he's so mad he
runs
out the front door.
The front
you know
door.
What? I got something to say.
You get him on camera.
Right.
They might not know where he lives, first off. Secondly, you might not be able to get a signal from where they are unless they had a satellite dish on the truck. Was it one of those microwave ones with the mast going up?
They both had little.
So they might not have been able to get a shot if they know where he lives. So the easiest thing is to come here where they know they can get one.
The easiest and useless thing.
And useless.
I mean,
did
they really expect the Patriots to come out with a statement?
Right.
You know? Well, that was my point. Like, if you want to go down ridiculous road and say that that's worthy of leading the news, just have your anchor read the report. I mean, there is no visual here.
Right.
You're not getting Vince. And Ted Johnson's in Houston.
And Bill's open. He might come out and talk about it.
Right.
Bill Belichick.
Right.
So just say it. I don't even know how it would enter into my half-hour newscast.
It wouldn't.
But even if you had to say it, interesting note today, to me it's one of those, as the guy shuffling the papers at the end.
Right.
Yeah, but those are usually like
funny.
Fuzzy or funny.
Exactly.
Like, this is just stupid.
Yeah, I don't really see how it's
mean-spirited.
Like you said, there are enough shows that
what
do that
do
stuff now. TMZ.
Is you tease. Because they all seem like they have 7 o'clock hour type gossip. Coming up, TMZ has a note on local Patriots players in a bit of a family feud. next on 7.
Family Feud.
That's what it is, but that's what it should be.
He's insane. I'm telling you.
In a separate issue, totally non-related to football, but much funnier and quirkier, the Adrian Wilson, Kyle Arrington jersey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Adrian Wilson wants number 24. Kyle Arrington is number 24, and he jokingly said
he
would buy him off
in Pampers.
Ty Law used to be. He would buy him off in Pampers. Well, he then tweeted an actual like pyramid of Pampers that he said he was sending off to at Kyle Arrington, and it was like, you know, two cases of each size all the way up.
Wow.
I don't know where that stands, and I hope Arrington asks for more because that's not that much money.
Right, right.
It's like $400 worth of Pampers.
Right. A couple other things. One, just an observation. I was surprised even yesterday people are still talking about Wes Welker locally on the radio here. Surprised that's still –
Did you hear
– You're going to get that
did
until –
Did you hear
like,
the back-to-back
well, it'll
calls?
Come up again once they get back into camp, but
– I think that will be the topic of the Patriots.
All season.
Until – yeah.
Because they, the back-to-back even if they calls? Play them in the playoffs, it's going
right.
to go through
I
that.
Mean, that is going to be
that's
the
gonna
long-standing
be the story
topic.
All this season. Oh, yeah. All this season.
And then
– On and off.
Jeff Demps –
that's an interesting
announced
situation.
Announced he wants to be a part-time
I love the way he worded
player.
It, too. And did you read the story today that he's quoted in?
No.
Some paper or something in Florida, Florida Sports Today or something along those lines. He said he told the quote to the reporter was, this is what I would say. Look, Bill.
Yeah.
This is what I want to do. First of all, just saying, look, Bill. And, I mean, he was here all season, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Does
well,
he not know how this
I don't
works?
Know if he was here all year. He was a member of the team all year.
But we saw him in the locker room on occasion.
A few times,
definitely. He's met Bill Belichick before.
Certainly. Met him prior to coming here, I'm sure.
I'm going
to
go focus on track. And if you guys let me come back, even if it's for just half a season, I'll be okay with
show
that.
Up
I'm just going to show up and help you out.
He thinks he's freaking Bo
Are you
Jackson.
Nuts?
Couldn't hold Bo's jock.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting situation. And
hey, how come they're not returning my calls, by the way?
That's the part I like. Yeah. The agent has left messages the last 3 weeks that
they
have gone unreturned.
They haven't returned their calls. But my guess is that they're trying to figure out what they're going to do.
I mean, he's under contract, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he can retire at any time.
But
he
wants
to retire
from
football.
No, I know, but like, he can't say, I'll see a second half of the season. Right.
Well, he could try, and they could put reserve, did not report.
Yeah, he's going to end up on – if he doesn't go to training camp – he's going to end up going on that, what Andy said. And he
but he
said
doesn't have to do anything.
That radio station that he was quoted on, he said, I think, you know, week three, week four, week five, somewhere around then, you know, he'd be ready to play. So
but I didn't understand
he's not going
to
lose a whole year.
He said he had to miss a year. He needed a year to prepare for track and then could show up. So I think he's actually talking.
Oh, so he's missing this year?
That's the way I read it.
I didn't know that.
Or he meant he started his track training during the season last year, and that a year would end up being
the
middle of
the
season.
That's how I was. The first time it was reported, the coach said no, because he said, I want to do March and April events.
Yeah.
And the coach said, well, you know, it's not possible. He's not, there's a difference between football shape and track shape. It's not possible. So his coach, well, unless he'd been working with somebody else, but his coach was saying he wasn't ready for track. That's why it feels like he's going to get caught in
between. Is he making a good decision?
You might be right.
No.
No.
He's not a real Olympian.
Well, he's making a good decision if he just wants to focus on track.
I don't. He's short. He didn't really win a silver medal. He was a tagger on to the real guys who won the silver medal. I think if he wants to make money and be a successful athlete, he should be in the NFL. He doesn't look like a world-class sprinter to me. They usually have, like, long legs and, like, the... He's, like, short. He's, like, 5'9",
well,
nothing.
But he's definitely... He can run in those relays and stuff, you know, the longer...
Yeah, to fill out the legs until the real racers get there, like he did in London.
The 200s.
No, no chance.
What do you mean, no chance?
He's not a world-class track. He's not Usain Bolt, so he's making the wrong decision. He could come
so
here.
So you have to be Usain Bolt?
No, but what? If he's just doing what he loves, I'm fine with that. If you like track better than football.
Is there money to be made
no,
in it?
No, not for him. Not for a jag like
that's
him.
That's the issue.
But how much money do you think is made to be made in football for him?
More than there. I think he has a chance to be like a legitimate kick returner.
I have no idea how much money he would make
in track.
At
a minimum, he's going to make $500,000 if he's on a team, right?
Well, $400,000.
Well, yeah. Eventually.
What do you mean eventually?
He's not going to get that now.
No, he would get the $400,000.
If he makes a roster.
I mean, he made $385,000 last year. He'd make $415,000 this year or something.
Right. So he's got to be 3 years in to get to $500,000 is what I'm saying, eventually.
Right. Yeah.
But
and I'm not
sure
he's going to make it 3 years in.
He could have a nice career. I think he's – yeah, I don't think there's anything to come from a track career.
See, I don't
financially
know.
Financially or anywhere.
I don't know what you make in track. I have no idea.
Pretty
you know,
sure the jag of all jag sprinters is not making good
well,
money.
Well, maybe
but
one of our
see,
listeners
I don't know what
can
that
tell
is.
Us, what, is there money to be made in track?
Because I kind of agree with Eric in terms of I don't think that he is going to be in a situation where he's making elite money as a football player. I don't think he's ever going to get to that point.
I mean, it doesn't really exist. I mean,
you make the good
I think
point.
He's going to make like $35,000 a year as an MLS player type money doing track.
Oh, okay. See, now I didn't know. I didn't know that. That's what professional track guys they make that little. I didn't know.
I have no idea.
I think he's going to be a Jag.
I just assumed that you can make a couple hundred grand running track with sponsorships and all this stuff.
I think if you're good,
I think he's good, and I also think he has name recognition.
I don't think there's a lot of trickle down money in track.
Yeah, he certainly doesn't have the name recognition.
I think the guys get big money.
You don't think there's a lot of sponsorship?
Usain Bolt gets Tiger Woods type money to show up at a track event. Just showing up gets paid. I don't think Jeff Demps is ever going to make any money.
Yeah, he's not going to make Usain Bolt money.
No, obviously. I'm not even – I'm saying I don't think he'll make $500,000 a year or $400,000 a year.
I think he could because I think he's going. I think he has a possibility of having name recognition type endorsement deals. And I don't know anything about that area. The one thing that I totally agree with Andy on, it's all about what he loves. And if he loves football, then by all means play football.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
doesn't sound like
but
it,
I don't think that he stands to make significant money in either sport. If you make $35,000 in track, I have no idea. Then he's not going to make significant money in either one because, obviously, to make any significant money, you got to be Carl Lewis or Usain Bolt and that stuff. If that's the kind of the trickle down, like a guy like Jeff Demps, an Olympian, is making $35,000, then
borderline Olympian.
Does professional track allow he for was performance an Olympian, enhancing?
I know that
you were this close to be an Olympian. They needed somebody to fill out the last leg, and you were next in line behind Jeff Demps.
No. See, I think that you're being ridiculously disrespectful to Jeff Demps' track career.
Does professional track test for PEDs?
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they do, and I'm sure they don't catch it.
Don't you remember Ben Johnson?
Yeah, they all get caught.
That was
the
in the Olympics.
Well, isn't that what you just said?
I'm talking about professional meets, not Olympic.
Well, yeah, aren't they basically the same?
Yeah, I think
the same thing.
There is no amateur anymore.
No.
There hasn't been for a long time.
Yeah, the anti-doping agency, I think, is the one that tests for all that stuff now, right?
Yeah.
The WADA.
Or VADA. There's a couple of them.
But I thought, like, even if you're in the Olympics, you have to give up your sponsorship for a certain point of time.
There are certain rules. I don't know them. No, actually, there aren't.
No? Not anymore?
No, because the only reason
the girl was
giving up hers was because she wanted to compete in the college level. And had nothing to do with...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's what it was.
Yeah, no, because, I mean, Phelps is, like, one of the richest guys.
Yeah, Ryan Lochte had all those spots during the Olympics.
Okay.
Yeah, because
I know in the past... If you did those commercials, a long time ago. Put him in escrow.
Sure.
You had to put the money away and you couldn't
touch
it.
And my guy Jim Thorpe got screwed, right?
Wasn't
Jim Thorpe?
Yes, Jim Thorpe got screwed, Andy. You are correct.
Back before they had TV. Yeah.
But Dan and Dave, I think, started that, didn't they?
I don't know when exactly.
And one of them didn't even make the team.
Yeah, that's right.
Matt LePan, Pepe LePan, who is an NFL draft expert now, he says... He says if Demps was to compete for an entire year and got sponsors, he could make a couple hundred thousand a year. If he was to do well in American circuit, he could win the award that you get for piling up certain points for competing in each event. The winner of that gets $100,000. That would be a possibility.
So the best chance is like $300,000.
So he would make more money in football.
Right.
But I don't think that he would make a significant amount more in football.
See, I don't think he'd make that in track because I don't think he's going
to
be very good.
Well, based on that, I don't think you'd make that much in track. If he had to win all of that just to get that.
That's the high end.
I agree with you. I just don't think he'd ever going to – he's going to get to the point where he's like 3 years in and he's going to be done with football. I at 5'9", not really committed to playing, I don't see him being a 10-year return man somewhere. I don't see that happening.
See, I kind of feel about that about track. He's a fringe Olympian.
I don't think he was a very good football player.
So my dream of the Gator offense of Hernandez, Demps, and Tebow can't happen?
Well, two of the three can't play football.
And Hernandez isn't bad.
And one is proving he can't play football.
Here we go. Andy hasn't made fun of Aaron Hernandez all day.
What? I'm not making fun of him. He had a terrible year.
There you go.
That is not making
fun. There you go. Just give me what I want, just like that. That's what I'm looking for.
Freddie, you went to this infomercial with the cell phone gripper thing?
I've seen that before.
Yeah?
Not interested.
No?
When he bought it.
Surprised.
When it came in the FedEx box.
Did you ever see the guy, he holds it out the window?
That's what
he was doing a minute ago. Do you buy that power washer thing?
What?
Which looks like just a hose?
I have a power washer.
Oh, the one that crinkles up?
No, not the growing hose.
The hiding,
oh, it just compresses the water.
Yeah, they claim it's like halfway between a hose and a power washer when you don't have the core or whatever. It doesn't look like it works. It looks like he's just washing off mud off a car, like with a regular hose.
Putting his finger over
speaking
it.
Of getting
it looks like that would be more powerful.
Speaking of getting hosed, how are your brackets? Are you guys in brackets?
Yeah.
You still looking know. Good?
I have a perfect bracket.
You have a perfect
evidently,
bracket?
Evidently you didn't fill one out.
Exactly.
Oh. I didn't fill one out.
Why not? Why don't
how
you
many
fill,
do you have?
Why don't you fill one out? I filled out two.
I kind of look at the brackets like golf.
Have you tried the bracket?
If I'm not going to do it right, I don't want to do it at all.
What do you mean?
I don't pay attention to college basketball, so I really have no idea what I'm talking
about. And Fred's right.
But you come on this show.
One of my favorite.
But we don't talk about college basketball.
No, I mean
but
about
we
football.
Do talk about football.
One I of know the, more than I, you think I do.
One of my favorite.
More than I think you
yeah,
I do.
That, he didn't even have a strong defense of himself.
One of my favorite moments, though, every year when the tournament comes along is the Monday after the first two rounds. When I come into work and Fred tells me
how
everything about all the
yeah.
teams that are good and the teams that stink.
Right.
And despite the fact that he just openly admitted, I don't know anything about college basketball.
Well, once I start paying attention
Fred
to it, I pick
always
it up
has
pretty
it,
quick.
He always has it nailed.
I think that Duke team's pretty good.
Yeah.
They got a pretty good coach, too. I think he's got some
I don't like him.
He's got some staying
he'll
power.
Be there a while.
I don't like him. Ferret face.
Wow. He's just attacking everybody.
Krzyzewski.
Yeah, he'll never hear this, right?
He'll never hear this.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. Do we put enough on the table, you think?
Well, a lot on
got,
the table.
We got Vollmer. We got Demps.
No pass rush.
No pass rush.
No
wide
receivers.
A lot of Patriots talk. You can't criticize that we're not talking about the Patriots today.
Little housekeeping from last show. We were talking about how important it is the play-by-play guy in the radio. Greg in Bridgewater, Mass. Says, Paul, I love you, man, but you're just wrong about people not listening to games on the radio. You're at the freaking game, dude. I don't have the exact numbers from 98.5, but there are a whole bunch of us are running around on game day and need to listen to the radio. Be a little bit more open-minded on some of your points before you adamantly say few people listen to the games on the radio. I think Gino and Gil were great in our Patriots football, but during the last few seasons, Gil and Gino were making a lot of mistakes, and it takes away from the enjoyment of listening to the game.
Yeah, I saw Greg's email, and I actually emailed him back because I think I was misinterpreted a little bit. I did say that I don't think that the ratings for radio football games is very high, and I don't think they're very high. But my point was, I don't think people listen on the radio based on the announcers. And I think he sort of proves my point by saying how much Gil and Gino dropped off the last few years. Now, he's right. I don't listen to the game, so I don't know how much they've dropped off. I've heard a lot of stories. We've certainly gotten a lot of emails from people complaining. But my point is, if you have to listen to the game on the radio, you're going to listen to the game on the radio. You're not going to do it because, oh, Johnny Most doesn't do the games anymore. Gil Santos doesn't do the games anymore. I'm no longer going to listen to them. The part that I think is very overrated is the voice of the team. And that's the part that people disagree with me on. But, I mean, listen, if you're in a situation where you work on Sundays and you're in your car or whatever and you have to listen to the radio, you need the games on the radio. They have to be on. You have to have your games broadcast over the radio. I agree with that.
Brett in Illinois says, Fred, when did Paul get rich and think $400,000 is not significant money? I think you're paying him too much. So, Paul would probably disagree with that.
So would Jebediah.
Sam in Chicago says, I would say Demps is giving his first love a shot before he goes to football.
Well, then he should have done that when before he went to football and bilked $11,000 and a year's paycheck out of the Patriots.
Where one shot on the field could end any chance of him returning
signing bonus.
To track. And I read a tweet that Jackie Britton was seen at an art opening in Providence with Eskel. Is that true?
Did you tweet that out?
Is that true?
He's just looking
just
over
so
his
you
microphone
know,
at Fred.
I was actually
that's not
I
true.
Was actually asking as genuine a question as I've ever asked,
yeah.
And he looked like he was moments away from pushing the microphone aside again like he did last week. So I'm out.
Okay.
I don't want to get yelled at.
All right. Brad from Adelaide says, hey, PFW guys, Brad here from down under in Australia. This is a long email, but please read it as I feel it's important for radio listeners. It's actually not that long.
That's what she
last
said.
Thursday show, you were talking about who the new radio announcer for the Patriots would be. You then went on to debate whether it really matters who it is and who actually cares. Well, I don't care about anyone else in the world, but as a dedicated Pats fan, I care. See, down here in Australia, our cable television, which we call Foxtel, only plays one game per time slot each week, so it's not always your team. Therefore, I tune into an app on my phone, which allows me to listen to the game live, which happens to be anywhere from 2 in the morning to 6 in the morning for regular 1 or 4 o'clock kickoff. Although watching it is better, I still love to listen to the non-televised games. Following American sports in Australia, the radio format is what I am used to and still enjoy. So blokes like Gil Santos, Vin Scully, and Joe Bowen from the Maple Leafs are very important to painting me the picture of what is going on as they call the games in their respective sports. And it is far better when they have knowledge of the game and the team they are covering, as well as passion, excitement, and great catchphrases. So, yes, it is important. Keep up the good work, fellas, and let's hope the Rook gets the gig.
But I don't think Paul's disputing that. I think he's saying you're not going to stop listening if you rely on the radio for your coverage of games because they changed announcers and you don't like the announcer. If you're a fan of the team and you want to follow the team, you're going to listen no matter who's broadcasting. I think that's Paul's point. Am I right?
Even if he's a bad bloke.
All right.
What if they put a robot voice?
That wouldn't be good.
First and 10, Patriots.
The
like the Stevie H.
The James Pettigrew
Vin Scully
voice.
Vin Scully.
Yeah.
Gil Santos. One of these things doesn't belong here.
Oh, Paul. You don't have to urinate on a man's career. Wow. What a bad guy. You guys are the bad guys today.
Mark in New Hampshire says, Fred, I thought you'd be interested to know that there is a product out there that is similar to your slot. I can't even say it. Soap with a slot idea. On the island of Aruba,
Jamaica.
Soap is now offered that looks like a donut, a bar of soap with no center. Aruba is a resort island onto which everything needs to be shipped. The thinking is that people throw away the last worn-down sliver of soap anyway, so why not just eliminate the sliver during manufacture? I think you were onto something after all. Yeah, but no matter what, you're down to a sliver. It's a round sliver with a hole in it, or it's a flat rectangular sliver, right?
I guess. I've never had a donut piece of soap. So. I've never tried it. If all the edges wear away first.
My slot with a soap with a slot idea is the perfect idea.
No, it isn't.
It is. You can't be.
Who wants to put those dirty leftover nubs of soap in their new soap and then get another dirty leftover nub of soap
that
at the
dirty,
end?
That nub of soap is no more dirtier or cleaner than the one you just used the shower before.
No, but it seems like it gets a little white at the end. Like it, like, jellifies.
What exactly do you do so... You have to keep buying, you have to keep buying a new bar of soap.
Right, well, right. You do anyway,
and so you always end up with the same slot,
right?
Because
so
you
the
use
difference?
The outside first and get down to that stupid piece.
It's not like you're saving anything.
Yes, you are.
No, you're not.
You're never throwing away soap.
The soap, the slot can't be in the middle of the bar. It has to be near the top or the bottom.
It could be
because, as Andy said, if you keep wearing away, you're never getting rid of that part. So it has to be closer
to
the top.
No matter what, you're left with a sliver that you put in the next slot. So you never throw it away. You're never wasting anything. Until you die. And then
I don't throw soap away anyway.
I don't really.
I use it until it's done.
I squeeze it
until it's done.
I squeeze it to the next piece
impossible.
And it sticks.
It's not impossible.
When it's done, it's done.
My whole life.
Okay, you squeeze it to the next thing. And sometimes it doesn't stay. If you had a slot.
If you're strong like me, it stays.
It'd be much more convenient. It'd be much more convenient if there was a slot to put it in.
Now, what if you build the soap around a little piece of like wood or plastic so that you just wear it off and then you give it back to the company and they put more soap on it?
Don't like it.
I don't like your idea. And I'm willing to try the donut idea to see what happens.
All right. Is Kevin out back there?
I have no idea.
Oh, he's right there.
All right. I didn't see him. All right. Let's take a quick break. A lot of emails. Not a lot of calls, though. People aren't calling today.
None, actually.
I don't know why. All right. We'll be right back.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios Internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Now's the time to take advantage of our low price value games. Whether it's the Boston Bruins, Boston Celtics, or Boston Red Sox, Ace has the tickets you need, starting at just $19. Ace always has the best seats at the best prices, and all our tickets come with a 200% money back guarantee. Ace has free and easy pickup by Fenway Park or across from the Garden. So treat yourself or someone special. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
From the photos Andy was telling me.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see
Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sturger photos available, see why Favre was after her online. I'd be dialing it up tonight.
Matter of fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
I had my headphones off, and then I heard the word penises come through it, so I figured, oh, we must be coming back from the break. So
I just assumed you got excited.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. We're talking everything Patriots until 2 o'clock. You guys have been watching your draft videos. Anybody jump out at you so far that we haven't really talked about yet?
Well, like, I'll tell you a guy who jumped out at me. I don't think he can play in the NFL, which is...
Is that why he jumped out at you?
No, but Shadron State, left tackle, Garrett Gilkey, I believe his name is. And obviously Shadron State is where Danny Woodhead went, Division II school. He was at the combine, and he has a unique story because he's big into bullying. He was bullied as a high school freshman when he was little before he grew.
He's big into anti-bullying.
Yeah, and he wants to start this whole foundation.
Yeah, he wants to bully people.
His tape is as impressive a man-among-boys type tape as I've ever seen. Just literally pancakes guys. I told Paul, he has this unique thing where usually when guys pancake, they lay on them. He would pancake them, but keep like his butt in the air and just hold him down with his hands. And there was one guy he actually picked back up after the play.
Wow.
After he had thrown him around like a rag doll. His technique is terrible. He got away with way too much, I think, at Shadron. And at best is a super developmental prospect. But maybe the most, you know, for example, I don't remember seeing Dukas dominate like this. Or, you know, every year there's these guys out of, you know, lower level
smaller
type
school
footballs.
Yeah.
He absolutely kicked ass and took names.
I hope he did that to the bullies, too, when he got bigger.
Well, he will. He will now. But, yeah, he stood out for me. I'm trying to think who else stood out.
What did you guys think of, and we'll do a podcast on this at some point, but I started off with cornerbacks. And the guy who took over for McCourty at Rutgers.
I haven't watched cornerbacks yet.
Oh, you haven't?
I haven't,
Paul?
No. Oh,
okay. When you do, look out for the guy. I think his name is Logan.
Mankins?
No.
Airport?
Hold on. Hold, please.
Oh.
Hold, please.
Guys from Rutgers are always on the radar.
No, they always make the NFL. Yeah.
Logan Ryan, Rutgers, cornerback.
Haven't watched
him yet, no. Decent player. I mean, I might be a little hesitant to take another Rutgers corner given what happened, but he looked pretty good on tape.
The Rutgers corner we took couldn't play corner.
I'm probably about to give him like $45 million next year.
That'll be a good deal, according to some people.
Not according to me, it won't.
No, you just like guys who buy his bad backs.
All right, let's check out what's going on in the Ace Ticket Hotline. Brian's in Ontario. Hey, Brian.
Hey.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good. I'm just flossing here because I usually have lunch with you guys. So.
Are you in the car like Fred does?
No. I'm at home. But when you guys were talking about the soap, it made me laugh because my mother's pretty funny. Years ago, we lived in Severn Bridge, Ontario, and lived right on a really nice river. And in the morning, instead of showering and all that stuff, we just go dive in the river and shower down there. One thing my mother used to do, instead of just collecting soap like a crazy person, she actually made a little face cloth pouch thing that used to just tie at the end of the dock. And the little slivers of soap from the shower and stuff, we used to just put it in there. And I forget how it was attached at the top, Velcro or something. I don't know. But you just took that off and just washed off and then rinsed off after that.
There you go.
Wait a minute. I don't really care about the soap thing.
Soap of the pouch.
You shower in the rit like...
Are you going there? You are? You're going there?
No, they have clean water up in Canada.
Do they?
So?
Oh, yeah.
Very clean, yeah.
So,
cleaner than, say, Northern Maine?
Do you have, like, running water?
Clean water there?
Because I've been to Northern Maine, and when I would, like, when you go whitewater rafting way up, it doesn't seem like you just took a shower when you get out. It's cleaner than here, but... There's still natural water.
What do you do in the winter?
You didn't use soap.
No, but either way, I'd still
so
be
you
rinsing
have
off.
Plumbing.
And you left your soap just hanging there where animals. I'm sorry. Why didn't you take a real shower?
Animals? What animals?
There's no animals in the water.
It's not jumping out at soap. Not that I noticed.
No, but just bugs and flies. You said your mother's not crazy to collect soap. I think she was crazy.
It was
to shower in the river.
It was in a cloth bag.
Yeah, in the river.
What is your problem?
Did you have the option to take a shower?
Of course we did.
Oh, okay.
By the way, yes, we had two showers, and we did take showers. It was just something to do in the morning, you know what I mean? Just to rinse off.
Right,
it was not a
full
on, I'm naked in the river shower. It's just rinse off your hair and stuff like
that. So you had clothes on?
Of course, we had bathing suit on.
But is that your problem, that they were naked?
No, my problem is I don't think you'd be clean afterwards.
Clean enough.
The Canadian way.
I don't see why not.
Because it's not, like, clean.
What do you do in the winter?
I mean, my
well, it's all practical.
The water in
which
my
up
house,
there is like 9 months.
I have a well
I'm
in my house. The water comes through an aqueduct,
right? And it's clean.
But where's the big purifying system?
All I'm asking is it different than Maine? Because I can tell you, I've done this in Maine, and you, when you leave the water, you can
right,
tell you haven't been.
But you're
in
also
soap.
You're
water.
Going to white water where all the water is churning up the stuff from the ground, all the sediment from the ground,
and even in the calm water,
so
it's the same.
That's mixed in.
No, it's the same.
No, it. All right. Okay.
It was not, no, it was not, you know, distilled water
sanitary.
Running down the, into the lake next to us. It certainly wasn't as clean as the shower.
Yeah. Andy, if it's not Perrier water, Andy doesn't
no.
want to take a, go in.
No,
it.
Just clean water. And
that
he just said
Andy,
it's not clean
water. That
was
an Andy-like comment right there. Yeah.
That's all. I don't have a problem with it. When I was a little kid, I can remember we'd get like big rainstorms and there was a certain area of our yard that would flood and I would get a bar of soap and go out and play in it. But I didn't think I was actually, like, clean when I finished.
Did
I was
your mother
just
make you
stupid.
Shower when you came
yes,
back in?
Yes, I still had
Why
to, like,
take
tubs.
Why did you bring soap to play in it?
Because you're a kid and you're pretending you're, like, showering outside and, you know, tubbing in the
really?
Yard. Yes.
Okay.
And I didn't bump butts with anybody.
That's where it's probably separated from any of your experiences.
We still had the option to rinse off afterwards.
No, okay. I'm not trying to offend you. Yeah, I'm sure
not judging.
Not saying you were like a man of the woods, like Grizzly Adams or something.
That's what I'm envisioning.
I do, though, Brian, think it was a good use of old soap, and thank you for your
Plus,
addition.
You were also contaminating the river.
The addition to the show.
No, not with soap. But anyway, I had one question. If Chandler Jones happens to go down, what team could possibly be afraid of our like, what team won't pass? You know what I mean? Like, pass on every down. I mean, we have no threat at all.
I would say the Cardinals, but they beat us. Because
yeah,
that would be the one team that doesn't have an offensive line and doesn't have a quarterback and still beat us. Yeah. But I get your point. If Chandler Jones, A, doesn't get better, or B, gets hurt, you're screwed. You have no pass rush. You have nothing.
Yeah. I mean, there's no threat there, so they basically can run until we stop it and then just do whatever they want.
That's why I'm starting to get concerned as if these veteran free agent pass rushers start to come off the market. We saw Doomerville. Now reports are a couple others might be getting closer. I don't want to be caught with my pants down in terms of pass rushers.
And it seems like, I don't know, they've had talks with people, but it seems like they've been sort of lame. Like, that's the press sort of, I don't know, feeling I've got that there hasn't really been any real, I don't know, effort into it or whatever. It just doesn't seem to be a big deal. I don't know.
Well, I think there was, I mean, you have John Abraham and Dwight Freeney, two of the premier veteran pass rushers in on the same day, you're making an effort. But the question is, why did they just leave? Because you weren't offering something that made
right.
them want to stay.
The Patriots, once again, feel that they probably, you know, they think they know the market and they feel that time is on their side.
And it's true. Those guys didn't find immediate deals elsewhere. It's not like they went to the next team and said, oh, I got twice as much. I'm signing
right.
here.
Now, if all of a sudden, let's say Freeney gets signed, maybe then the Patriots hurry things up and sign Abraham or vice versa. You know, who knows? But right now, no one's signing these guys. No one seems to be rushing. And I think that there's a separation between what the agent and these guys think they should get and what teams are offering them.
And have we gotten to Bill's thing? Bill Belichick's, are we at that 7 to 10 days where he expected the next flurry? I don't feel like there's been a flurry.
No, not really.
So we're not there yet. So there's still a chance.
Or there's no flurry.
All right, Brian.
Or there's no flurry. It was a bad forecast. Maybe you got it from Charlie Casserly.
Let's go from Ontario down to New York where Jay is calling in. Hey, Jay.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
What's up? Did you shower in a river as a child?
I hope it's not the Hudson.
You know, I don't think I ever have. Anyway, so I got a question and then like a short expatriate story for you guys.
Okay.
I haven't really been following John Abraham all that much in Atlanta, but I mean, do you guys project that he's just kind of a veteran presence to add depth?
He's averaged 9.5 sacks throughout his career, which is pretty damn good production.
And he's had 19.5 the last two.
Yeah.
and a big year before that. I forget what it was, but it was a lot.
I think he's the comparison I like to make, and it might not be perfect, is the Andre Carter signing from a couple of years ago. You have a guy who's advanced in age, but he's still productive and can,
more productive
than Carter was even, and can probably
better career
help your team out right away. I'd like to have him on the team.
Yeah,
for that reason.
Do you think he'd be there to kind of couple with Chandler Jones, or do you think they'd alternate him with, you know, like Rob Ninkovich?
All of the above.
Yeah, I think they'd move him around, and I think, you know, Patriots would stay multiple, and
Ninkovich can drop to linebacker.
He certainly, I don't think would be an every down player.
Yeah, I mean, he's like 34 years old.
Yeah, I would guess that the plan would not for him to be every down. As Bill says, you know, it wasn't the plan for Roman Pfeiffer, and then he was an every down player. Yeah. You never know how things work out.
Even Carter. I mean, he ended up with 10 sacks and would have had more probably
if
he didn't
get hurt.
Best
player on the team, in my opinion, defensive player. All right, what's the story of the ex-Patriot?
Okay, so I used to work at J. Crew for a few years when I was a cashier there. And so I call up the next client, and I see it's Rodney Harrison, and you know I'm over Super Bowl 42. You know it's all I could care less, and so I feel like I'm gonna give this guy some New York love. You know, he's got some fans here, so I get halfway through with saying, hey, by the way, I'm a really big fan, before I realize that Mr. Helmet Catch has got his earbuds in, and. You know, of course, I feel like an ass because I'm pretending like I didn't just pay this guy a compliment who doesn't even know I'm talking. And so I guess the moral of the story is, you know, Rodney Harrison, I don't want to say he's rude, but he was kind of being rude.
Yeah, I don't care for it. You go into the cashier, take your earbuds out.
Yeah, I agree.
Have some respect.
Yeah, yeah.
Screw Harrison.
All right, Jay, thanks for the story.
Although Rodney's a really nice guy.
He's a nice guy, but that is a sign that I'm not talking to you.
Yeah.
If you walk up to somebody with your earbuds in. Yeah.
Right.
So
I don't care for it.
All right.
Even though we love Rodney.
Dave in the Philippines writes in, long time no write, but I've been listening. Dave in the Philippines has been a long time listening.
Before we get to Dave, can I just tell a quick story I forgot about on the flight back from Arizona? I had to switch planes in Detroit, and on the flight from Arizona, I had Jim Schwartz on the plane.
Schwartzy.
And he wore sunglasses in the gate and on the plane the entire time.
I
was wondering what your thoughts were on that.
I don't care for it.
I don't like it.
Wait, before I criticize him, did he have a grease accident as a teenager? Isn't that Tony Sperano had when I made fun of him, and then I found out he had a grease accident
but
at McDonald's?
When you see, but Tony Sperano wears the glasses all the time.
Right.
You don't see Jim Schwartz wear sunglasses at in Ford Field.
It's true.
Yeah,
so he's just a douche.
The chances are that Schwartz doesn't have a medical reason.
Schwartz is a douche.
So did you shake his hand and give him a real hard slap on the back?
Say, Coach, bam!
How the hell are you?
So you didn't like that?
I thought it was a little weird. Yeah. I mean, like that.
Despite the fact that his avatar had sunglasses on.
Well, I took that one down. That was only for a couple of days. And I was outside.
Did you get a lot of criticism for that?
No, none, actually. But I was actually outside.
You weren't listening then?
I was actually outside when that picture was taken. Not on an airplane.
That's true. Good
where you where you're supposed
in Africa
to wear sunglasses?
Hot, or wasn't
exactly.
Hot.
Oh, speaking of, did a lot of the media talk about the team photo that the coaches took at the meetings?
There was some talk about that.
Belichick and Peyton, Sean Payton, were the only two not in the picture.
Yeah, that made the rounds in the media.
Any reasons why? Anybody have any stories behind?
Oh, people
that?
Had their reasons why Bill didn't show up. Yeah.
Wow, but.
No legitimate ones.
Okay.
I mean, none that were confirmed.
Were he and Sean like out fishing?
What
that
were
day
the ones that were? You know, can you share that? Like some
probably rhymes with poosh dag.
Yeah, basically.
Like he chose not to.
Mm-hmm. That Bill is a that's typical Bill, and nobody's surprised.
I thought maybe those two they're friends, so maybe they were out fishing or
drinking.
Yeah, boat didn't get
nothing,
in.
Nothing like that. Was
but I can understand. I mean, not
he doesn't
that
know the story, and he automatically makes an excuse.
Like they're fishing.
They were out fishing
in Arizona.
The boat came.
And
out.
I'm not in Arizona.
Right? I hadn't even thought of that.
I'm not making an excuse
like Havasu or whatever
for any of them. But at least you could say if you're Sean Payton, I mean, he's coming off a whole year suspension.
Right.
I don't, any less that I can do in terms of media access, the better, or visibility, the better. You know what's
media aren't allowed to.
What
that,
was Bill?
Though,
no, I'm
think.
Just saying in general. I don't want to be around any more than I have to be. I'm not excusing.
But I think that's one of the things you have to be.
I'm
at.
Not excusing him. He should.
What is it for?
He should have been there.
Like,
I think
where
it's
do
just,
you see it? Like, what do you
I just think it might be just internally they do it.
To me, it's another one of those human being things. There's 30 NFL coaches that are getting together to take a photo, and there's two that don't. I don't think it's that hard to be a human being. I really don't. Yeah. I don't. I'm not trying to make fun of anybody. I'm just saying some of these things are made to be very difficult that I don't think
I don't have an excuse.
Just show up, sit there, and have your picture taken.
If 30 guys can show up, then two can.
Exactly.
Unless, you know, and I don't even say gone fishing. I'm saying, like, something really bad happened or, you know, extenuating
circumstances. Eric's point is accurate. I don't care where you are. If you're supposed to be there, go. It's not that hard.
Well, I mean, like, if his wife had gone into labor, she came on the trip
and
you're at the hospital.
Emergency. That's
legitimate.
Different.
Right. Also, but wait
totally,
a minute.
Totally
now,
legitimate.
On,
emergency?
Hold on for a second.
Totally
hold
legit.
On for a second. There is this coaches association of which Bill is not part of.
Right, HC.
And maybe that is who puts on that photo. And maybe Peyton. I think Peyton isn't either. And maybe those two are not part of that association.
See, I would lump that in with this whole thing.
Okay.
It's not that hard to be a human being.
Okay,
just
Madden
get,
people
go along
answer
get
that
along.
For us.
What?
Is Sean Payton in Madden? Because that's how everybody, you know, the
right.
Bill, HC, NEP, whatever.
Right.
I want to know if Sean Payton's in Madden.
Okay. And if that's the reason, I would just transfer my question
my
to
my guess is it's
why
very
is
simple. He didn't want to go, and he didn't go.
Exactly.
I don't have to. I'm
it
Bill Belichick.
Maybe he can if he's not in the association.
Don't you think that would be no?
But I think Paul's point is, why isn't he in the association?
Right. Well, no, that's
your head
that,
coach.
Yes,
because
okay.
I'm better than the rest
exactly.
of the association.
Exactly.
Well, I think it gets down to
it's true.
Very simply.
Why would
I actually
but
don't,
you don't
have a problem
that,
with that. If financially, I don't know how that association works. I don't know money.
Dues and all
if
that,
you don't want to sign yourself into something you're not comfortable with, I'm fine. But taking a picture, I find it hard to believe they wouldn't let him take a picture whether he was in the association or not.
I don't know.
I think it's,
has he ever been in it? Has he never done it? I mean,
oh, yeah.
He's been here 12
he's
years.
He's missed it other years.
Well, then you're that's
the first
water.
That's the first
that's
time
true.
I ever heard of him
okay.
not going
so
to the
so then your
photo.
Thing doesn't hold water.
Oh, no,
he
that's
doesn't
happened.
Want to go.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
right.
I know he misses the breakfast from periodically.
Right. He has missed the
photo.
He
misses everything
before,
periodically because he wants to and he can.
But that's my point. You know, it's like the PFW.
Because your guy got hit by Mo Lewis. He wants to and he can. Had that not happened, he couldn't do any of this stuff.
The Writers Association, you know, the Pro Football Writers Association, we're not allowed to be in it.
That's correct.
Okay? If we were allowed to be in it, and we're not allowed, by the way, people might not know, because we actually work for the team. That's the way they differentiate it. So we're
you were in it for a while.
Yes.
Yeah, I was never in it.
Until they outed you.
But my point was that even if I were allowed to be in it, I wouldn't.
Why?
Because I just don't
feel
don't
get anything
I don't
out of
get
it?
Anything out of it, okay? But it's not because I think I'm better than
we
them.
We were getting something out of it, weren't we?
I wasn't getting anything.
Don't worry about it.
Oh, we got it anyway?
Don't worry.
But my point is, if there was a situation where they got together and they said, you know, we're going to do all of these events and we're going to have, you know, all of the media, the national media that covers the football, the football league. I morphed into Fred out of nowhere.
Covers the football.
The football. They cover the football. I would get in. I would join just, you know, like
right.
to go along to get along. You know, like it wouldn't, it's not like this, like,
well,
you know, wildcat strike,
food, right? Together?
No, but whatever. If whatever they said, like, you know, every year,
it's a catered affair.
You know, every year at the Super Bowl, we want to get the entire PFWA together, and we're gonna. This is, you know, something we're gonna do. We're gonna have a meeting. We're gonna sit down. We're gonna take this big team picture that all
tradition.
The media or whatever.
Yeah.
Then I would get in.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't get in because I didn't think there was any need to be in it.
Well, you like those fraternal things. You're into
it. Well, you know that, but that's the reason why I'm not in it, is really because I don't really like that stuff.
Oh.
But if it was something that...
Paul's not a Freemason.
Like, I wouldn't just say, no, I'm not going to do it because I don't believe in... I think I'm better than you. I'm a better writer than you, so I don't need to be in it. I mean...
See, I think I think there's no thought put into it. I'm not going. Like, I'm just... I don't want to.
It's a waste of time.
Yeah, I don't think it's like a Paul Perillo like slamming of the sandwich on the table. It's not a political right. stance. It's just I don't want to go. I'm not going to go. I think that's all it is.
So mischaracterized.
But I do want to know if anybody can chime in.
I had the audacity to want to eat something different than chicken one day, and
had to eat it up in the press box while slamming a sandwich.
I just wish I was there to see it because I want to see who was actually right in this.
It was very dramatic.
Everything that they say is exactly true,
except for the slamming of the sandwich.
This slamming statement that they make out to be. That's
what I want to see.
That's the
I
only part of it that's
of
not
it.
True. I'll fess up to
that's
every other part of it.
It's the funniest part. That's
everything that Fred
see.
Says.
You know,
is
how like Paul like he'll move his head back and forth a little bit, like when he's you know, upset. He doesn't want to say anything, but like his head is moving like there's words in there that are trying to come out, and he's keeping them.
Yeah, because I often have a hard time
expressing
myself.
He's keeping them from coming out, so he starts moving his head, and you see him walking from the elevator, and he's like holding it in, and he just. Makes a beeline to our table, boom, plops the sandwich down. And
yelled, screw you, Stacy.
And we're all bursting out laughing.
Did you say that?
No.
Because we know what it means.
That part I'm making up.
We know what it means. He had been threatening to do it for like a week. And
because
then finally
I was tired of eating the same thing every day. And that's all I was doing. But it was no like anger. You're making this out to be like this.
It was a statement.
This big political statement.
It was a statement.
Like, no more chicken. I mean, where did I go? I probably got an Italian sub. Oh, wow. that's much.
I think it
different.
Might have been steak and cheese. I'm not sure.
It's much different.
Regardless, I don't think Bill's doing that. I think he just – I'm not doing it.
All right. Dave in the Philippines writes with regard to the helmet discussion, the comment about the materials that start soft and get hard on impact was just a little too close to the discussion about the cactus at Eric's hotel. Perhaps they could keep the helmets as they are and then add a soft layer of padding on the outside, similar to what's on the inside, so that both parties are protected in the case of helmet contact. I think that would be easier to engineer as opposed to new materials.
I don't believe that works. As I said, I believe the whole story with those old foam shells that they
Mark
used,
Kelso.
Mark, some of those that it actually was worse because it made more blows rather than glancing blows. That's the only reason I brought up having some super slippery helmet where all blows are kind of glancing right.
I'm glad to see the owners taking player safety seriously, but this new rule is simply too difficult to enforce to be useful. For years, everyone's been complaining about calls that are too much based on judgment of the officials, like for pass interference. This rule is going to be far harder to officiate properly than pass interference. I think it has no chance of being called without provoking an argument. Looking at the equipment would have been a better way to go. I hope by the time you read this, we have signed Vollmer, we have, in at least one other need, pass rusher or deep wideout. I'd prefer that they address the wideout as they have a pretty poor history drafting receivers, but they seem to do better with defensive draft picks. Do you agree with that assessment? Of course, they haven't done that great with free agent receivers recently either, although I would not mind getting Lloyd back again at a better price. He wasn't completely non-productive, and I would expect the communication with Tom to be better in the second year. Granted, he didn't always keep his feet, but 700-plus yards isn't awful. Would you rather have another Chad? Not me, thanks.
Well, they also were.
That's the alternative.
They also weren't very good at drafting tight ends for a long time until they drafted two good tight ends.
They've hit and missed at everything.
And I also think that the wide receiver part, I think, is a little bit misleading because they almost always seem to try to find a diamond in the rough. It's you know, third-rounder Taylor Price, who played in a run-oriented offense. We think that there's something here to this guy. They never go out and get the guy who had, you know, Deion Branch-like, highly productive college career. Oh, by the way.
Wow, Chad Jackson. He was a bust.
Was he that?
Yeah.
He had a lot of catches his last
year. You know,
year.
Bethel Johnson was not a highly productive guy at Texas A&M.
Chad Jackson
pick.
Is the most talented, obvious, should-have-been-good prospect they took.
Listen, I'll start off my whole rebuttal to that by saying I swung and missed badly on Chad Jackson. I thought he was going to be a star. I fell in love with him at that rookie minicamp. I think, Andy, you were there with me in the bubble that day when he caught about 87 passes, just so strong and fast. I fell in love with him.
That was my definitive statement to Dan Kraft.
Pro Bowl
before his rookie contract ends.
Well,
technically his rookie contract
so
never
I swung
ended.
And missed.
They
I just I don't want to, you know, sound like one of these guys that's 20/20 hindsight. I missed. I thought Chad Jackson, but there was a lot of questions about Chad Jackson coming out of Florida because he played in that Urban Meyer spread offense and didn't really catch a lot of NFL type passes. And that to me is the kind of guy that, you know,
well,
there's always
then,
something
all
about
the Florida
receivers.
Receivers had that kind of
but you're going to get that a lot of places. Yeah. I mean, my guy Terrence Williams, people say he can't run routes. He's not a route runner. That's a common thing in college is the route running because they all run, you know, two or three
they
routes.
They get away with
a little
it.
Bubble screen. They run a go.
And those are two, and, you know, Bethel Johnson and Chad Jackson, those are the two high picks they used. They used a couple of third-round picks. Brandon Tate, oh, by the way, coming off a torn ACL.
Well, he would have been a first-round pick.
Right. You know, there's always like a parenthetical with every guy that they take at this position.
But
you know,
there always is with all receivers.
Go out and get a guy
that
doesn't really have that. Well, that's part of what I'm saying.
But, see, I don't think there's a single one in this year's draft that doesn't have the parenthetical.
If they address, but if, but this is like something, I'm not necessarily talking about the future. I'm talking about the past. You know, let's talk about the past.
What are you, Mark McGwire in reverse?
You know, if they had taken A.J. Green and he didn't,
McGwire in reverse,
and
he's
he just
like
didn't
and
work,
strong.
And like he just didn't work, then I think you could sit there and say, well, there's something that they're misidentifying. You know, if they made the bold move to trade up and get Julio Jones and it didn't work here,
the way
whatever,
they're picking this the big risk.
You know what I mean? There's something wrong, but they don't really take those guys. They don't. They haven't been in line, and I'm not criticizing them for not taking them. They haven't been in position to take those guys.
There's been like three or four of those in a decade.
I just don't want to kill them for saying, well, they I don't want them to pick a wide receiver because they've never been able to pick one. Well, they've never really been in position to take one that didn't really have a lot of the red flags.
But they drafted tight ends in the second and fourth round who became stars. They drafted a cornerback in the fourth round who became a star. They drafted a center in the fifth round who became a Pro Bowl.
But I think Eric makes a good point. They drafted two tight ends after drafting 10 others become stars.
You're saying it has to do with X and Y, but they've drafted people at almost every position at various points in the draft and found a way to develop them into either good or
quality. I guess what I'm saying is, do you think they've missed on more wide receivers than other positions?
Than some positions, not than all positions.
Because I don't really
I think at cornerback they've missed on wide receiver comparable.
I think recently they
I think tight ends is comparable.
In the secondary altogether, they've had a hard time picking guys in the draft who stuck with the team.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think the tight ends is comparable. You know,
yeah.
But even with the tight ends, those guys contributed. You know, Daniel Graham and Ben Watson,
Bethel Johnson contributed, but I think he was a bust.
No, but Bethel Johnson left here and didn't do anything. Those guys are still playing.
And Bethel Johnson only contributed as a kick returner.
What does it have to do with what he does when he leaves here?
I'm just saying that they were pretty good football players.
And they started here. They were core players.
I understand that, but I don't think they were great picks.
They were core players. They played.
Well, but they had to play. They were first-round picks.
Well, I don't know.
Brandon Merriweather was a core player here. He was a bust.
Yeah, but who they then cut. They never cut
Watson
or Graham. They let him get to free agency, and they let him go.
Yeah. I mean, that's just
a little
like
different.
Cutting.
I'd say they were drafted higher than they should have been, but
they
weren't terrible.
I'm not saying that they were busts on the level of Chad Jackson bust, but
I'm not sure Watson was drafted higher than he should have been. I mean, he's still a pass-catching tight end in the NFL on his third team. He's not great. He's not a superstar, but as the last pick of the first round, you carve out he's got to be going on a 9-year career now or something.
Yeah.
It's not like he fell off the map. You know, Chad Jackson, as a second-round pick, you went somewhere else, sucked.
They couldn't
and
play.
You're out of football.
No, and I'm not putting – and, you know, I like – especially Graham. I liked Graham a lot more than most people did. I'm not putting Graham and Watson in the same category as Jackson and Bethel Johnson. That's two totally different categories. But my point is I don't think that they've missed – that much more often with wide receivers than they have all the other positions.
Yeah, they missed with Lawrence Maroney was a miss.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Certainly.
Think about all the quarterbacks that they've drafted.
Yeah.
Any of them any good other than, one notable exception?
Who you don't think is very good?
Oh, please.
Matt in San Diego State University says that Sean Payton is not in Madden. So
maybe they're not. Maybe you're onto something. Well, you answered your own question when I said, has he been in the past? And you said yes. And you said that to...
And Chris in Maryland verifies that he's playing Madden as
how about any other
and he
guys?
Says he's not.
How about any other coaches? That are, any other notable exceptions in Madden? I'm just curious now.
Because if there are, then they showed up for the picture.
Well, I'm just wondering now. I mean, like, how many guys? Who,
but I also want to know was Bill in the picture in the past.
But yeah, that's
we also need to know that.
That's one thing. But I'm sort of more concerned with the perception that Bill's the only one that doesn't do these things.
And
now you got Peyton. Are there three or four others that don't do
it? He's like his underling.
Saul has
update.
That's,
do this, do that.
To me,
it would be
more telling if Mike Tomlin doesn't do Madden
somebody
neither.
Somebody not associated in any way.
Yeah, someone doesn't have anything.
Saul
any
has an update on Matt Sean Payton. He says apparently Bill is the only coach not in the NFLCA. Peyton isn't in Madden because of the suspension. Or so the always true internet tells me.
See?
So
there's more information. So Bill is the only one, according to
according to
the internet.
One person.
They should have just
they
made
can't put anything on the internet. It's not true.
Like you should have been like banned, and that should have been a part of the Madden game. If you pick the Saints, you don't have your head coach, and you got a guy who's there for a couple games, not there. Like
Nick
make it real as possible.
Nick in Victoria, BC,
lucky Victoria
says just trying to find out where we are with you guys commenting during a game. We kind of discussed it in December, but I haven't heard anything since. I just figured you're there for the pregame show anyway. Why not just leave the mics on and keep it going? I turn off ESPN to listen to Andy telling Paul how bad Hernandez sucks. When he drops a pass from Brady while Paul says it's Brady's terrible pass, and Fred saying he's as good as he's ever been.
I know you just completely summarized the entire preseason.
I know four plays would go by before the arguments stop, but I'd rather hear that than Gruden tell me, this guy, Tom Brady, let's get this thing going. Are we thinking of doing an experiment in preseason?
No.
Preseason, there could be some things coming. We don't want to get into too many specifics because we don't know for sure what's going to happen. But Andy and I might have something for preseason games. Regular season, I don't think that's possible.
And
unless
we don't
wants
stay
through.
By the mics. We go to
right.
the press box.
We go up to the press
the
box.
Because just so you know, the visual, we're in a concrete cinder block room in the bowels of Gillette Stadium about, 100 yards or 75 yards from the actual field with no visual.
What if you just watch from down here on the TV?
Well, if you want to relieve us of our writing responsibilities, I'd be all for that.
And if I'm just going to watch on the TV, can I stay home?
No, I'm just, throwing out ideas.
No.
I told you, my idea revolves around eliminating the paper.
If you got us a booth where I could see the game, okay, that's a different story. But I'm not.
Yeah,
I think it's a good idea to.
Yeah, and I wouldn't feel comfortable trying to make any kind of comments in the press box.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Can't do that.
Turning into Brian Morey.
Yeah. We would have to have a booth somewhere that we could watch from.
I don't get involved. Oh, yeah, you don't get involved.
He doesn't get involved like I didn't slam my sub down.
And the truth shall set you free.
Dan writes in, on this year's offseason, I'm a fan of the Wilson signing. Assuming he makes the roster, we don't.
Then you didn't just piss away the $1 million signing bonus you gave him.
We don't need him to have his Hall of Fame talent. We only need a safety who knows when it might be a bad idea to pass the receiver off to nobody. What I haven't liked so far is that all of the moves they've made bear the distinct repulsive taste of value.
Ooh.
If they are not planning to target at least one pass rusher and preferably two receivers in the draft, then this offseason will be a failure.
The offseason is still very early, peeps.
You know, that's true.
I'm as critical as anyone.
Lack of depth in March is not the same as lack of depth in September.
And the same thing's happening in Baltimore.
Yeah. When did they sign Andre Carter?
That was
out of a lockout.
Okay. There was no other alternative.
That's a good point. Forget about that.
But the whole.
You're not the only one who's made that point. I've actually heard real radio people on WEI say something like that.
Well,
there's no one there to actually call them.
What happens when you're in the satchel?
But he wasn't the first guy they signed out of the lockout.
No, but those guys all...
They came fast and furious in a three-day window or two-day window.
Him and Haynesworth and Ocho, they just seemed like they came one after another.
But it's not over.
No,
but
not
they,
at all.
They're going to... I mean, we have draft picks, and there's going to be more free agent signings, at least one more. I would be stunned, absolutely stunned, if Dwight Freeney or John Abraham, one of those two, is not a Patriot. I'm going to be very, very surprised.
Shouldn't you be mad if they get one of them, but it's the last one? Aren't you a big believer in, don't tell me they're all the same? You wanted one.
I would be upset if that's their rationale. Is I don't care which one, Abraham or Freeney. And by the way, you're the one that has that. Don't tell me two guys are ever the same.
I know.
Because
there's always you were too.
You always like one. Just because I happen to agree with you on it, nothing is almost ever the exact same. Now,
even Bill has said that. I believe we've said all things being equal, and he said all things are never equal. And yet
you're telling me the guy
at 26 is the same guy at 32.
You're either getting better or you're getting worse. I mean, there's a million different cliches that he has in terms of things never being the same. Now, you can make an argument to me that Freeney at $2 million is better than Abraham at $5 million. I would not necessarily agree with that, but at least there's some sound logic. But don't tell me that you can have both for the same, and it doesn't matter to you which one it is.
But don't you think they're probably in the same pay bracket?
Yeah.
Because I find it hard to believe they'd be going from team to team if there was such a vast difference between what they were going to be paid. It seems like they're sort of in the same, they were both here, and then they were both in Denver, and they're just kind of bouncing around as a pair almost. So I got to think they're in the same class.
Bouncing around.
What?
As a pair.
Speaking of which, I hear Kelly Pickler very good on Dancing with the Stars.
I have not watched. So
I haven't either. I did see one picture, though. Her hair is ridiculously short. She, like, buzzed it. And that should accentuate her breasts, but it doesn't.
That's all he cares about.
Yes. Unlike you, I like breasts.
Dylan writes in.
What do you like, Fred?
Left him speechless. He likes schlong.
Dylan writes in.
I was going with penis, but.
I think the wide receiver situation in New England is being underemphasized by the media, you guys included.
No, just me. Everybody else is concerned.
Because there is clearly a rather significant restructuring move being made, and I believe it is entirely intentional. I personally believe that regardless of what has been stated publicly by the Patriots, Welker was gone long before free agency even started. Belichick wants to start entirely fresh with good reason. And many of the recent bigger doesn't like all those points. In many of the recent bigger postseason losses, including Super Bowl 42, when the best offense in history, quote unquote, was shut down, and the offense has been to blame in most of the cases, I'm hypothesizing that Belichick has concluded the current system isn't getting the Patriots over the hump, and despite having the best regular season offense, such as the Peyton Manning offense, our wide receivers famously or infamously have failed us
have failed us
in the biggest moments imaginable. Brady has been far too comfortable in the past few years, and it's time for a major change, no different than the change in 2006. If there's any quarterback who can handle having a fresh start, it's Tom Brady. I'm expecting the Patriots to go back to more spread concepts this year, as they did in 07, to get away from the dink and dunk. It's been proven that you don't need a stellar run game to win Super Bowls, especially with the advent of the arena-style passing game. Belichick knows this, so I fully expect a dramatically revamped offense this year. And P.S., check out a guy from Rutgers named Mark Harrison. Definitely a Belichick-type under-the-radar pick who I think would mesh well in New England.
What is that guy talking about? In one sentence, he says the problem dates back to 07 when they couldn't score. And then he says, I expect them to get back to like 07. It's not the same offense. It's not the same offense. You have two tight ends that are the core of the offense now. Everything was in the middle of the field. Back then, they were making plays down the field when Brady threw 50 touchdowns, 23 of which went to Randy Moss, a good chunk of which were plays down the field. So I don't get how you can compare last year's offense and the 07 offense on any level. I think they're totally different.
And I would also add to that it's a flawed rationale, because you're trying to say that because they scored so many points was the reason why the offense flamed out in the, you know, we need to change because the offense isn't coming through in the postseason. So we want to get worse on offense. That's the solution.
And what has changed? Except
just
for the white guy.
Just different, Paul. Different.
The only thing that's changed is the little white guy. If they had gone out and signed Mike Wallace, that's a change.
Right.
There's a difference there. Or if they had gone out and signed Steven Jackson and Jake Long and said, you know what, we're loading the mother bleeper up and we're running the damn football. We need two backs who can carry it 300 times.
But that's
what changed?
Part of my point.
They signed a white guy. Just like they had another little white guy who went to Texas Tech, who played out of the slot, and who you want to catch a lot of passes.
And you've also, at the same time, lost Lloyd, and you've lost probably Branch and those guys, and you're replacing them, maybe. But right now, we don't know. And this is why I said, you know, talk to me after the draft. If they don't add anybody else and they go in with Amendola and Donald Jones, that's not good enough.
But Donald Jones will be like, whoa, I'm making the team.
I don't think that that's what they're going to go in with. I think that they'll have another wide receiver or two on the roster. But, you know, to sit there and say, well, Bill knows that didn't work. It didn't work, not because the offense is flawed, like the system is flawed. I mean, can we agree on that? I mean, I think that there's always going to be ways that, you know, you come up big or small in a big spot or whatever, for whatever the reason. And Super Bowl 42, to me, was totally different than Super Bowl, whatever the other one was, 46, right?
It's hard to keep track of.
I think the offensive line got completely overwhelmed by the Giants the first time around.
42, no doubt.
Okay, I don't think that's... I think the defense absolutely could not get off the field in the second one. And the other team had the ball the whole game. And that's what kept your points down. I don't think it was the same formula in both games. Now, ultimately, you look and you say the Patriots scored 14 and 17. Not enough, right?
Right.
But
that was my point.
I think you arrived there in two totally different ways.
That were separate and legitimately separated by, you know, 5 years apart. You know, so there's a reason that they were different. There were obviously a lot of different players, different coaches, different everything. So I don't, that's why I don't get the comparison of the, you can say they, the one similarity is they came up short. They failed. They didn't ultimately finish. But it wasn't because, in my opinion, of scheme or philosophy or, and I don't believe they've changed anything philosophically. Doesn't seem this. They haven't dedicated to defense. They haven't dedicated to the outside receiver. They haven't dedicated to the running game.
The defense part is the one that would concern me, because I think if you said, we can no longer put all these resources into offense because we've had the best offense and that's not been good enough, so we need to improve on defense. Well,
but
so far they really haven't.
Maybe they have.
Why is that?
Year two jump.
Oh, for God's sake.
No, I'm being kind of serious.
No, we
if
all...
If Bill Belichick but we is know all that. In with Chandler Jones and Dante Hightower and Alphonso Dennard and even Wilson, Tavon Wilson, I mean, there's 4/11 of your defense.
Sure.
And if you think they are going to be huge jumps and
Jake Beckett.
Yeah, no. No, but seriously, say two of those.
No,
say,
I know.
Say it's not
but
even
on
your
paper,
top. Say
you're
it's
not
Jones
that much
and
better
Dennard.
On defense, right?
Oh, I think you could be.
Oh,
if
you could.
Develop
no,
a number,
right now,
if
I'm
Dennard
saying right now on
one,
paper, you're not that much better on defense.
Well, it depends if you believe in the year two jump. Well, and he thinks late in the year, he said, you know what? Those guys are going to be stars next year. Now, I don't know if Wade Phillips said, you know, that's J.J. Watt. He is going to light the world on fire next year. And only Wade Phillips really knows in his head what he was thinking from year one. Yeah. But there's a chance you're going to be better from within.
Right.
Just from within.
Right.
And it's a legitimate one, too. I don't think it's pie in the sky to think that Jones and Hightower, two first-round picks who played a lot as rookies, could be, you know, Pro Bowl caliber or, you know, very good in their second year. I don't think you're wishing for something there. In fact, you should be kind of expecting it.
And I'm expecting them to be better.
Starting the year with Tlaib instead of more than halfway through should make you better.
I'm expecting those two guys to be better. I don't know if I'm expecting them to be Pro Bowlers.
Well, I don't know if they're going to make the Pro Bowl, but if they're in that conversation,
no, but I mean,
if they're
Pro Bowl caliber,
if they can
players,
give you 16 games of good play.
Yeah, I don't think either one of them was close to a Pro Bowl player last year.
Certainly not Hightower.
Hightower was not even.
It was a bitter disappointment.
Dan of Virginia writes, an interesting show today. You set a full table of football. Then what do we get? Soap with a slot. Just a quick.
And what did we get? A phone call about Soap with a Slot. Just proving that our audience wants Soap
Adams.
With a slot.
Just a quick few questions.
Grizzly Adams chiming in from
showers,
Ontario.
Quote unquote, in the river.
Just a quick.
In
few...
a van now by the river.
Just a quick few questions on the Welker situation. As over lamented and over commented as it is. Is this as much of a gain for the Broncos as widely thought, an actual game changer? Does it cure Manning's playoff itis or just provide more of what Stokely gave them? With the Broncos' other receivers, are there only so many catches to go around?
He's much better than Stokely.
He's definitely
I'm not sure it's
Stokely.
A game changer. I think they are better.
We'll and see. How does this play in the locker room, given Welker was such a hard worker? Does it make other players more concerned about the loyalty of the organization?
Yeah,
you talk about the Patriots.
Question. That's always a question.
And just out of curiosity, what was the lead news story that fateful Wednesday night in Boston TV? New Pope or Welker gone?
I assume Welker gone, but
I don't watch the news, so I don't know.
I know the newspapers had big Pope picture, but they had Welker in like a little, you know, like a cutout.
It was
above,
huge.
Above the Pope.
It was a very big story.
It was huge. Yeah. It was a big story for at least 3 days. Then it died down, and unfortunately, it got big again at the owners' meetings.
Following from last week's show on brain injuries, there are two solutions to prevent the brain moving in the skull. One, get the players to snort that jet puff marshmallow fluff liquid stuff. Two, take the brains out of the players. We can ask the Jets how
check
we
done can, that one.
We can ask the Jets how they do it with their players, and as a bonus, it might make the Raiders competitive again. If the Wilson-Arrington jersey number swap goes ahead, that's going to be very frustrating for all of those who bought Arrington jerseys.
I agree.
Man, both of them are going to be pissed.
Yes.
This is like a little stand-up thing for Dan.
No, I get it.
And Pollard has signed
my
with the Titans.
My sarcasm meter's on today.
Pollard has signed with the Titans. I heard Paul's concerns about him being on four different teams, but I think the Patriots blew an opportunity to sign him. I was thinking a short team deal, one just long enough for Brady, Gronk, and Ridley to take him behind the stadium to play some baseball. Then Pollard would hold a press conference the next day announcing his retirement from football as he fell down the stairs at Gillette and broke both ACLs along with some ribs. Thanks to Louis on the PFW in Progress Facebook page for the assist on that last one.
Shout out to Louis.
Louis.
Preamble the J.
Did you happen to see, Fred, you were talking about the Welker calls? And did you hear a couple of them yesterday afternoon, like, you know, around drive time? Just unbelievable. Like, you know, we don't need, well, you know, why do we need that guy? He dropped the two passes. I'll never forgive him for dropping the pass and costing us the Super Bowl. Just killing him.
Oh, I heard that one guy.
There was two guys back to back.
Well, he didn't hear the other guy because it was him.
Oh, that's true. One of them may have been you.
I love Wes Welker. I still do.
What do you have?
I wish we had him. Dave in West Virginia, I know you guys have been talking about who will take over as the radio play-by-play man for the Patriots next season. The real question is, who will take over hosting duties for the Patriots pregame social since Adam Pac-Man Jones is gone?
Yeah, that's a big question.
Jones has moved on to greener pastures. I know some would like to have just Andy and Paul chit-chat for a few hours, but come one, we all know they need someone to keep them, let's say, professional.
Well, no. We just need somebody to go in and out of breaks.
And P.S., Eric has the most interesting supposed love life in the history of the Internet.
Supposed.
What's going on? Are you tweeting about things? Mm-mm. How are they getting this Internet
Why are they
thing?
Talking about
What's
this?
What's going on the
Because
Internet?
People are losers, that's why. They have no lives of their own, so they have to pick on other people's.
Now, can you just give me that right up the front? Why do I have to wait like an hour and a half?
They have no lives of their own, so they got to pick on other people who don't have lives of their own.
That's what I'm looking for, right there. If you gave me that at 12:15, I'd have left you alone. If you come to me up front, we could have worked something out.
Can you guys...
Sorry, Paul.
What?
I don't know. Stupid, lame movie references.
What's the matter?
Never mind.
Christian says he tried calling, but no one picked up the phone. On the Seabass signing, do you guys think the Patriots, knowing his injury history and their confidence in dealing with it, factored into the signing?
Yeah, sure. There's a medical assessment here that had to be made of what the risk with the back is.
As I recall, in the 09 draft, didn't like 20 of the 32 teams have Seabass completely off their boards because of his back issue?
Mm-hmm. And
perhaps
Paul.
That was a factor in other teams' lack of interest.
Wasn't even a combine.
You know what? I hadn't even thought of that. You know, because I said, you know, we didn't really have reports of his visiting anywhere, so it's not like he took physicals. But if those teams didn't want him then, what would change their view now when they're going to invest even more money in him?
Well, only just that he has an NFL track record.
He's proven that he can play.
I'm playing half the time.
Yeah, but when he's healthy, he plays well.
Half the time.
And when he's healthy, he
plays
well.
No, I know, but talent was never the issue.
But I think he's proven that he can deal with whatever physical limitations that he has.
Yeah, this year, except for last year.
No, for 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I consider missing 10 games in a season a lot of games missed.
And he wasn't missing all those games because of his back. On the injury report.
Yeah, forget the injury report.
Okay.
Eric
He missed 12 games last year, 10 in the regular season, and then 2 playoff, and then he started the Super Bowl.
The year before, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
For 4 years, he missed.
Yeah, but a lot of those misses weren't. He had an ankle injury. Yeah,
no, but whatever he had, he missed games. How many games did he miss?
I don't even know what that means.
How many games did he miss?
10 last year, I believe, and then in 2011 postseason.
So let's just say he's missed 15 games in his career. I don't know
he's missed a few more than that. I think it was like 6 the other year.
Okay, well, you have a media guide right there. Why don't you check that? He missed one last year. My point is.
Okay.
Andy and I can't win. We try to talk about something that might be relevant with the Patriots, and you get mad at us.
Well, I don't want
to
have downtime while Andy's going through the media guy.
But Paul's actually talking.
The point that I'm trying to make is, I a guy like, we signed Danny Amendola. He just missed 12 games the last 2 years.
He missed 10 games in 11. He missed one game last year.
Yeah.
10
right.
games in 11.
That's okay. 11.
And
then a couple of postseason games that year.
Oh, he only missed 2 in 09. He didn't start him, but
so my 15 is about right.
Yeah, you're pretty close.
So I mean, what's the difference? I mean, I think that he's
and they like, weren't to, all back related.
To Eric's point, I think he's proven
that is up for debate.
Yeah, that's a total
How
debate.
How many games has he listed on the injury report?
But I think Eric,
all of them.
But Eric is saying that, what has changed? What's changed is he's I think he's shown to a level 3 out of the 4 years he's shown that he can deal with whatever physical problems that he has.
And we saw him get the ankle injury at Philadelphia.
You know, Danny Amendola has missed 12 games, and the Patriots certainly felt good enough about giving him a contract.
I wouldn't have given him $10
million. No, I know that, but you don't think that someone else would have offered him a contract?
Maybe.
Some other teams were offering him.
I think
a lot of teams offer a lot of things I wouldn't do. Just like a lot of teams wouldn't draft Vollmer, no, but, and the Patriots would.
But
you
the
know,
question,
each person,
Andy,
has a
the
view.
Question isn't would you?
Andy would have a one-person team.
Right.
Bo Jackson.
Right.
That would be.
And I would. And I would. And I would have
Gronk
like
can play for my team.
I would have like the best humanitarian 0-16 team ever. Andy would have a one-man team. We wouldn't be very good
did
GMs.
You see Bo's name came up this week when Dr. Andrews was talking about the remarkable recovery of RG3. He's superhuman. The first time I saw that was Bo Jackson.
Right. Superhuman. I wonder how he was superhuman. Anyway,
after that.
You know, my question is...
Made it back to Major League Baseball.
Yeah, he made it back.
Yeah, and hit home runs.
He was never the same.
Obviously, he had a titanium hip. He'd still kick your ass today.
But the question, Andy, isn't whether or not
you
would
want.
Have... offered him a
if
contract.
That's the bar you're going by. It's not a very high bar. You can kick my ass. Oh, boy. Elite athlete.
Well, you did beat Andy.
You did beat Andy in three sports. That's, you're a three-sport star.
I'd say it's a low bar.
well done right there.
What do you got?
No, my point is whether or not you would offer him a contract is irrelevant. I'm surprised that another team, like other teams offered or were interested in Amendola.
Right.
Why weren't other teams interested in Vollmer?
Because he has a bad back.
Understood. There's injury problems that
but
prevent guys from...
His bad back is not the same as Amendola breaking two things.
See, I think it is because I think that he's shown that he can play with it.
Yeah, but he's shown
just
that it
like,
can be an issue,
just
too.
Like Rob Gronkowski has shown that he can play with his bad back. I think that's what's changed since the draft.
Gronkowski didn't miss 10 games in any season because of his back. Correct?
No, he hasn't missed... As far as I know, he hasn't missed any games because of his back.
Right. But Vollmer has... He has missed games because of a back injury that some teams took him off their draft board when he had surgery in college to miss a whole season.
And you're not surprised that teams wouldn't look at him and say, for 3 out of 4 years, he's been able to play the majority
of
the games.
Not necessarily, because they are saying it's a projection. My doctor says he could be parallel. Whatever the negative is.
Well, until he finishes his career, they will always doubt
him.
And they're always going to be right.
Them.
Evidently, they're always going to be right. And to me, that's throwing good money after bad. I made an evaluation that has sort of proven to be incorrect. And I was incorrect. I didn't want to sign him either.
You don't think people should stand by their beliefs? And I certainly
not when you have evidence to the contrary.
See, I'm not sure you do, though.
Okay,
I think you have a mixed bag.
Yeah, that's a question.
He's missed time with the back injury. Right. If he had gone 4 years, 16 games, no problem. Okay, now you at least have to ponder it. But if I'm a team that took him off because of the back when he was coming out, and I see he has missed time in the NFL because of the back, that only validates my opinion.
You don't even bring him in and check him out again medically?
No, because I'm going by my doctors.
But things have changed in 4 years.
But they haven't.
Okay.
The negative is still there. If you trust your doctor...
So there's no gray area as to why he's missed any games? It's just back. We know it's back.
No. The injury is borderline irrelevant in the NFL. These teams said, I'm not touching him because of that back. That back hasn't gotten
so
better.
So you're saying even if he played all 16 games all 4 years, people would still stand behind their medical
evaluation?
I think
there are some that would.
And I think that's dumb.
See, I don't. I think if you trust your doctor and he says, see this right here, at any point that could move over here and he's out. And that doesn't get better. That's an assessment. When you play in the NFL, it's not this superhero movie where he miraculously got better.
But,
I think you have to trust your medical staff, just like the Patriots have entrusted Dr. Gill by saying, we're going to invest $8.5 million in him. He better be able to play. Right? I mean, there's an investment there.
I just think that you're only looking to get another 3 or 4 years out of him. I don't really see that as being as big a risk as it's being portrayed.
I wouldn't touch him.
Teams had him off their draft board 4 years ago.
Doctors, so if they say he's okay, then...
Why do we got to go there?
Because they do. They have the best doctors.
Okay, so then he'll be fine.
Right. Let's see.
That's the only reason he's been able to play as much as he had, because they have the best doctors.
Right.
And other teams know they can't compete with the Patriots' quality of medical attention.
That could be. Michelle.
I could see, Vollmer is going to, have back surgery when he's, 68, and some doctor in, Tennessee is going to say, I told you.
Right.
What good is that?
Eric was talking earlier about being on a plane with Jim Schwartz, and Schwartz,
maybe.
He had his sunglasses on.
Okay, if you want to start believing injury reports... Then, okay,
that. Do you not believe that he had
other
injuries?
I think he missed every game last year because of his back.
Well, that was one.
No, I mean, when I say last year, I mean 2 years. This year, he missed one game.
Okay.
Last year,
What about when he limped off the field in Philadelphia and then didn't play for a month?
I think he limps off all the time. I think guys limp off. I think I've seen Logan Mankins limp every week. I've seen Nate Solder limp every week. I think he's missed time.
So you don't think
because
a
the back.
You don't think it's a possibility that the ankle injury coupled with the back problem is what caused him to miss a game? Whereas sure. if he didn't have the ankle injury, he might have still played.
Anything's possible.
But that's what I'm saying. That's why I would bring him in to check him out.
Yeah,
I can't believe he didn't get any interest.
But
that's all I'm saying.
But what are you checking out?
His physical condition. How has it changed since 4 years ago?
How has
when
it
I looked
improved?
At him at the combine.
How has it improved?
Well, not the combine because he wasn't there, but
how
when,
has
I,
it
when
improved?
I deemed him.
But we, and we also
whatever you blacklisted him for 4 years ago, how has that improved?
But you're making this assumption that they blacklisted him and said, I'm never going to draft that guy because this is going to move over here. How do you know exactly why they blacklisted him?
Have,
they might have just said he had back surgery. I never even looked at him. He's out.
Oh, well, then that's stupid.
That's what I'm saying. You
but
don't
I'm,
know.
But the teams that don't invite him in know why they blacklisted him, right? They know that they did a workout or did a physical and said, I'm not comfortable with X. That didn't improve in the 4 years since they made that
but
assessment.
But the other thing that we're not talking about is, Paul, you know, you say, I can't believe he didn't get a lot of interest. Maybe he did get interest. Maybe they did have the same type of contract that the Patriots had that protected him against injury. And Vollmer said, well, the only place I'm going to play with that type of contract is New England.
Well, he definitely wanted to come back.
That would run counter to everything that's been reported.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he never got a single anything.
I can't imagine he got a contract comparable to the one he got here. Because I agree with Andy. I think the contract that he got here is high. That I'm with Andy on, based on his injury history.
But he definitely wanted to be back. He wanted to be here.
Yeah. So I think there might have been interest, just not.
I don't think there was any interest.
Blow me away.
We didn't
it's
hear
better.
one word about him
well,
anywhere.
You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes unreported. Not every, you know.
I don't know. It seems like every time a guy breathes in another city, we're finding out about it.
You know, right. And if you're a team that.
Eric Elise, Abraham's
and
contract.
Think about it from a PR Check. Standpoint. A lot of teams, when they have a need. But they're looking
this.
At a player who, they're not sure they're going to sign. They'd rather not have that out there and have fans say, why didn't you sign the guy?
But you know who wants out there?
The agents.
Interest.
That's why you hear about it.
Value.
Well, yeah.
I don't think a lot of teams leak a lot of visits.
Think
it's
about,
agents.
But think about Freeney and Abraham.
When the offers aren't that high. You know, they don't
You don't need to know an offer.
You don't have to have the offer.
Just visit that there's interest.
What was the offer for Freeney and Abraham in New England?
I have no idea.
What was the offer for those two in Denver?
But we know that they came here.
Right. And
why do we know
because
that?
Because the agents say that because they want everybody to think, look at all the interest my client's getting.
Not. It doesn't always happen that way. That's what I'm
99%
of the
time it does.
I wouldn't assume that Vollmer didn't get any other offers.
I would.
I would absolutely make that assumption.
Okay.
Based on the fact that every guy that's gone from city to city is being scrolled upon in the NFL Network and ESPN scrolls, I can't imagine this is the one guy who had all these visits and somehow kept it under the rug.
Now, he did have knee surgery. That's another aspect of this.
That, to me, is probably as big an issue as anything.
But that sounds arthroscopic.
And I think that's dumb. That's all.
Yeah, I don't think that had anything to do with him not going anywhere or not
the other
signing.
Injury.
Yeah.
Earlier, Eric was saying he was on a plane with Jim Schwartzy, and Schwartz had his sunglasses on the whole time, and whether that's cool or not. Michelle in Stockholm writes in, sunglasses inside, it's because it's always sunny in Doucheville.
Wow.
And
wow.
Since I've had pneumonia, I have nothing else. Thank God you're not injury prone.
Sorry you're not feeling well.
Yeah, bench. Feel better.
Yeah, pneumonia. It's not good. So
nothing gets my friend.
Brooklyn Matt
Just
says.
To recap, pneumonia?
Not good.
Not good.
Brooklyn Matt says, I actually dozed off for half an hour during the show. I regained consciousness and started wondering if Eric had left while I was asleep. Nope.
And you dreamed he was on his way to your bed for a rendezvous.
About 25 minutes later, I heard him mumble something.
You know that's what he wants.
But still, you don't have to say it out loud.
But you know it. I want to shame him.
About 25 minutes later, I heard him mumble something from the background. Hey, Scalavino, up your game. Join in the freaking proceedings up there. I mean, at least make an effort to seem relevant.
Wow.
Okay, I'm just grouchy this afternoon. It's totally dead in Patriots land while other teams are bolstering their rosters.
Google down.
Paul, I swear it's shaping up to be 2006 revisited. Do you think so?
I don't. I think they have more moves to come.
And you're getting the same offseason we told you were going to get. They were going to re-sign a bunch of their guys. I didn't tell you they weren't going to re-sign Welker, but...
I was surprised by that, but I still think there's
we
more
said
moves.
They were going to have two of the three back. We missed one of the.
I'll be a little more encouraged if they get Abraham, honestly.
And he's already signed.
They really need
Cordarrick Lee.
Yeah, they need a pass rusher, and I think they're going to have another wide receiver. But I
sure,
think
but
more,
I don't know. If
I think
get
there's
one
more
in
more moves
agency.
To come.
You can get a wide receiver
anywhere.
Oh, a competent
Absolutely.
One.
Yeah, but you can get a competent wide receiver. I think you can get a guy who's better than Donald Jones. And almost any time.
Well, Emmanuel Sanders is better than Donald Jones, and
evidently
he's coming.
He's not even easy to get. I'm saying you can just get a guy.
I don't get rid of one of the draft picks.
Who's out there. You can just. This guy. He just got back from 17 weeks of vacation, and he's looking to take draft weekend off.
Adam in Alexandria says about that Coaches Association. Parcells was the only other guy I remember not being in it by choice. Same reason as Belichick. I don't know what that reason is.
That's the Coaches Association?
Yeah. I do recall Parcells not being part of it.
I find it interesting. Like, I find it. Like,
I'd like to know the finances of it. If there's money that they feel is, you know, the way that, what's his name, the dead guy from the Players Association supposedly bilked
them
out of all kinds of money and. What's the other arm? What's the merchandising arm?
NFL
properties. Yeah, and he was like bilking all kinds
NFL
of money
PA.
Out of. Yeah. Maybe there's something like that where they just think it's a terrible deal and you're using me, whatever. I just think it's probably, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I'm with Andy.
I don't play well with others.
Johnny in New Mexico says, thanks for all your hard work and endless entertainment. I just wanted to inform you that you almost lost a listener thanks to Mike and Mike in the morning. However, I did hear Greeny talking about his favorite team, the Jets, and here I am, back to you guys. The Jets.
We don't really compete with Mike and Mike.
Yeah, you can be a fan of both of us.
Yeah, I like Mike and Mike.
Yeah.
You can listen to them.
Sure.
Not that I'm telling you who you can and can't listen to, but
you can listen to us and them.
Let's see. Sam in Chicago. Kevin, nice pumping up the drop-ins, but you have to keep it simple for the crew. After Paul asked if Andy and Fred were on crack, you quickly followed up with a drug reference drop, something about dope. But it sailed right over Paul and Andy's head.
Yeah, we didn't get it. You're right.
Well, plus we...
It was from like 1981. That was the random part.
We're so not used to hearing drop-ins that we weren't ready for one to come.
Yeah. I had never heard that drop-in before, which is the reason why I called it.
JD says...
I never heard that.
Yeah, he's played that a few times.
And maybe it's like what Andy said, and just not used to hearing drop-ins of any type.
JD says...
Except when Matt does the show.
What do you think about Marcus Cannon now that Vollmer's been locked up long-term? Does he remain the backup tackle? Does he get moved inside like speculated after the draft? Does he get cut? Is he really a second-round talent that fell to the fifth because of health reasons, or is he just a jag?
At tackle, he's a jag. I don't know what he is at guard. I'm hoping we see him at guard because of this move, because they also signed
Will Zvitek.
And you got somebody else. There's another one left.
Zuzovic,
who they clearly liked based on the way they brought him aboard and then kept him and all that. So I have to think there's at least a chance we see Cannon at guard and we can assess there whether he stinks like he does at tackle.
That seems to be the speculation. I'm not as sure. Svitek got very little money, but evidently got $500,000.
Yeah, something guaranteed.
And everybody is sort of falling into the, well, that means he's on the team trap. That I will not be falling into. I don't think that's a lot of money, and I think if he can't play, he won't be here. I don't think that's protective money. Let's put it that way. $500,000 isn't enough to save a roster spot.
It's a decent amount for a
backup. Absolutely a decent amount, but if he's not as good as Marcus Cannon at tackle, he's not going to stay.
Well, I got to tell you, if he's not as good as Marcus Cannon at tackle, then he should be out of football permanently because Marcus Cannon at tackle is stinky.
Yeah, I agree that Cannon hasn't really shown me much.
But he looks like a guard. I want to see him play guard.
Yeah, you can always get a guard.
Tony writes in, value. I'm sick of the word. If Fred says we sign this or that guy out of value, I'm going to lose it. What is the value in overpaying Arrington when Tlaib or Dennard gets hurt? And they throw Arrington back outside. You'll see there's no value in him. What special teams? $60 million for slot and special teams help is a steep price. To me, I think they lowballed the major guy and overpaid these chumps who couldn't stop a receiver with a brick wall in front of them. When Brady restructured his contract, he posted "just win" on Twitter. Just my opinion, but I think that "just win" and the Belichick way are counterproductive to each other. What other season have they hit gold besides 07? You can't always pair value and talent.
That was gold?
Purely just if, but let's just say J.J. Watt went through an Elvis Dumervil situation. I think the Patriots would show the interest, but wouldn't fork over the money he commands. And isn't he worth it? He wouldn't put this defense over the top, but that would be a much-needed addition. Value is not always the best option. And speaking of Elvis, I heard he went to the Ravens.
Uh-huh.
Just let all the best guys go to our rivals. That's a great strategy. Anyway, I would be supremely pissed if the Broncos went to the Super Bowl this year.
So, you know what my favorite part of that whole email was? The tone in which Fred read it.
Yeah. Yes. It was well done.
Well, I also particularly enjoyed. When did we strike gold other than 2007? Well, you didn't win in 2007.
I think you
had 1-0-3 and 0-4.
I think
you
meant free agency. Gold. That, and that was, you could make an argument that was the only time that they were super aggressive in the offseason and spent money. And
could also argue that the two best players coming out of it came via trade.
No, but that's, but that's part of
that's
your offseason.
You blew your money on a Dallas Brinks truck, Thomas.
But that's part of the offseason. They went out and they were
made aggressive moves,
and you could say that it worked. I mean, they went 18-1. I mean, that's pretty good.
I thought striking gold meant winning a ring, but
I love when he turns into Johnny Tough Guy. It's all about the title.
And the guy makes a good point. You gave $16 million guaranteed and $35 million to Vollmer and Arrington. I could do without both players. I wouldn't mind seeing that money invested in a playmaker. I don't deem either of those playmakers.
Well, maybe they're, I mean, you know, Emmanuel Sanders is still a possibility, right?
Oh, my God. I didn't know when he became Jerry Rice.
What are you expecting him to, I mean, based on our receiving core, he'll help because they don't have NFL receivers. But, difference maker?
On this team, possibly.
No.
My point is, you gave away $16 million in guaranteed money and didn't really get much to show for it.
Do you think Brandon Lloyd was a difference maker last year?
No, that was a swing and a miss.
But on this team, I mean, he caught a lot of passes.
Right.
I have no doubt that Sanders could catch a lot of passes, but I don't think he's going to make a lot of difference. That's all I'm saying.
I like the direction NFL Network's going. They got, what is her name, Zalumis?
Yeah.
In a leather dress, dancing and shaking her tatas. It's my kind of football programming.
Rupesh writes in, big Patriots fan from Virginia. I've been following your show since 2011. Wanted to chime in on the wide receiver draft that we make and never utilize. Why is that? We all thought David Price, for example, was one of those difference makers in the position, but you know how that ended. I think you meant Taylor Price.
Taylor Price? Yeah. David Price won the Cy Young.
He was a third-round pick out of a running school.
You loved him.
I did. I wanted him to get a shot. You know why I loved him? Because I wanted somebody like that to just get a shot. And I liked what I saw from him in the limited chances
And he never really got a shot.
And he still hasn't because he's gotten hurt.
How come the team never gives these guys a chance to play as much to develop? If we never put them on the field with the offense in a real game, how will the coaches ever evaluate what these guys are capable of? That was Andy's point.
True. Yep.
Well, and right now, that's the one thing that to me is kind of exciting because they're so depleted in terms
Terrence
of the depth
Williams
chart.
Will have to play.
Somebody is going to have to play. They're going to, you know, Tom's not going to have a choice. It's going to be like 06 where.
Body language.
No, but what I'm saying is if the guys that they get are like Richie Caldwell, it's not going to be good.
Right.
But if the guys that we get end up being hits, he's going to have to throw the ball to whoever's out there. You can't just throw the ball to the tight ends. Some of the wide receivers are going to have to catch passes, too.
I bet. I could easily see games where it's 10 to Hernandez, 7 to Gronk, and he's got 26.
Well, I don't care as long as there's, you know, there's 35 points at the end of the game. But if they're not scoring like they weren't in the early part of the 06 season.
No, they'll score. My guy Shane Vereen will make a couple big plays.
Let's see. Cat in Chicago.
What?
Thanks for keeping my mind off my debacle of a renovation project this morning.
Oh, that's still going on?
She's keeping me sane.
Wasn't it going on a long time when she told us about it, and that was a long time ago?
Wow, Cat.
I wanted to bring the Emmanuel Sanders issue up for debate.
Didn't she say she wanted to go in flipping houses afterwards? I'm not sure you're very good at it.
I know there is a small chance we actually get this guy, but I want to present the case as to why he could be a viable option. Andy really likes Terrence Williams, and by the way, I like him too, who is projected to be a second-round pick.
Woo!
Sanders would only cost a third-round pick. Take a look at how their combine measurables stack up. Sanders is 3 inches shorter, but his arms are a little longer, and he jumps 7 inches higher than Williams. He's faster, too, or he was 3 years ago. I really don't know how quickly these guys slow down. Never if you take Dante Stallworth's word for it. Now, granted, he has 3 years to make an impact and has only been a marginal player, but he has proven he can stretch the field, and we don't really know what Williams will become. So anyway, I can sway your opinion on Sanders.
I'm intrigued by Sanders. I wouldn't count on him just like I wouldn't count on Williams. But you're also going to have to pay him a little more money because it's a free agent contract, and you're trying to get the Steelers to not match it. And you are giving up the draft pick as well. Whereas if you just draft Williams, it's minimal contract money for a second round pick.
I would take the Sanders move because if you've got a guy who's proven he can play in the NFL over a draft pick,
sure,
potentially in the third round there.
Well, you're also guaranteed to get him. Like if they feel like I am, they love Terrence Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're willing to overdraft him,
there's no guarantee you're going
to
get him. Right.
So you're one in the hand.
I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, they need somebody. And I like the fact that on one level, it is Sanders, a young development. I mean, at his age, there's still a lot of career ahead of him, rather than, say, maybe a Greg Jennings, who, you know, you might get a couple of years out.
Even if you get Sanders, that doesn't preclude you from taking a Williams if he's available at, you know.
Just limits, because now you're down two picks if you use a pick.
But
if
you sign Abraham,
and
you feel like you've addressed your
or
defensive.
Or if you trade down out of the first round and add picks.
Break Eric's heart.
What do people know, right? Well, where are we on needs? Is safety still a need? Is corner still a need?
Corner to me would be, but safety.
Defensive end, really, no. Are you? Does that need get filled simply by the veteran? Where are we on needs?
I think the pass rusher one, wide receiver 1A.
But when you say pass rusher, if they sign Abraham, that crosses that off.
Yes.
Okay. Or yes. or Freeney, any one of those guys. That crosses that off.
Yeah.
So then wide receiver moves to the top of the list.
Yep.
Would you be willing to use a third on Sanders and a second on Williams? Now you have a first and 2/7.
Yes.
Okay, because you don't feel like you have a ton of other needs.
We do, but, I mean, those are needs, too. I mean,
I'm not sure we do.
Really?
Wow.
No, that's why I'm asking. You know, everybody thought safety was a need. Well, Has that been filled by Adrian Wilson?
I think you need some D-line depth besides the pass rusher. Depth. Not start, you know, depth.
I think we have plenty of D-line depth. Unless you're getting a good one, Myron Pryor is depth.
I think you need,
Brandon Dederick is depth.
I think
Justin
need,
Francis is depth.
I think
depth.
You need corner depth.
Yeah, I think you still need secondary help, whether it's safety or corner. Now,
I like that Nicole's aluminum.
If you have, I've always been a big fan.
But in leather, she looks good.
Yeah, well, yeah. There's not a whole lot she could put on that I don't think she'd look good in.
But she'd look better if she took it off. Oh
for God's sakes.
Let's see. Jonathan writes, I don't watch a lot of college football, but I'm far from an expert, and I rely solely upon what I read or hear from the draft gurus.
Sorry.
With that being said, I'm looking for your opinion on Derek Rogers. All of his combine stats would have him as a top-tier talent, but his off-field issues are going to cause him to drop. What do you think?
Yeah, he's a knucklehead, but he can play.
And also, I'm happy to share some good news with you. My wife is pregnant with our fourth son.
Good Lord.
Bad news is I had to cancel our summer trip to see the Patriots training camp because I don't want Fred to get upset with my very pregnant wife in public.
Got like a little Gronkowski family there.
By the way, his oldest son wants to name the newborn Gronk. So,
his first name? Gronk?
Yeah. You don't like that?
No.
Okay.
But not my call.
Eric's looking up Derek Rogers. No, you're not.
That's Andy.
I mean, Andy.
I haven't gotten to that draft video yet.
Andy was looking.
Yeah,
up.
I wasn't blown away. I mean, he's productive, talented, but doesn't outweigh all the issues.
Exactly.
I mean, multi-time drug failures, kicked out of school. I mean, Tennessee, you got to basically kill somebody to get out of school.
Well,
it
was a laundry list.
Whew.
There's like three guys that got kicked out of Tennessee and ended up at either Tennessee Tech or Tennessee Martin or, you know, Tennessee Tuxedo.
Did T. Martin go to Tennessee Martin?
Did T. Martin?
T. Martin went to Tennessee.
Martin?
Oh, my God.
All right, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW.
How do we
Progress?
Always find a way to end the show like that?
End on a high note. We'll be back Thursday with more Patriots talk, and who knows, that next flurry of free agency could happen any time now. We'll see you on Thursday.
Or it could be rain.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.